This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Squarespace.com. Get a fast and easy website or portfolio right now, online, easy, quick, pain-free. No credit card required. Try it out if you'd like it, and I know you will. Use the code MORNING11 at checkout for 20% off. That's MORNING11 at checkout at Squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, we return triumphantly from BlizzCon.
But not before a dude farted in Scott's face.
On a plane, even. Giant man passes out in line.
The instance was special this week, and you should listen to it.
Man nails his testicles to the floor in protest.
Another man breaks through security and runs out on the tarmac.
Not in front of me, thank goodness. Bieber kicked out... Oh, is kicked out of yet another country.
Sadly, it's not ours. Miley Cyrus smokes him if she got some.
Eric's app review.
Major spoilers.
What else? Oh, your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I'm running away from home. My parents are mean.
Where will you go?
I'm not sure, but I'll show them.
That's right. You'll show them how mean you can be.
Bumblebee.
Isn't it better to try to solve problems instead of running away from them?
Maybe I could try talking to my parents again.
Yeah, tell them how you feel. And remember, running away
leads nowhere. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
The Transformers.
Giant Rod.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. No dicks here.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Morning Stream. It is The Morning Stream for Monday, right? Yeah. November 11th, Monday. It's November 11th. It's Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day, everybody. Big shout out to our many... Our folks who listen to the show who are in the military.
Yes, our men and women of service.
Yeah,
in all branches of service.
Absolutely, we appreciate all that you do, and not even just in this country. Like, if I could go over and give a big hug to one of those dudes on the lines of demarcation in strange lands, I would do it because I don't have the wherewithal / the guts or the constitution to do what you do.
Yeah, no kidding.
So thanks. Especially everybody who's, sacrificed much for the cause of defending those you love. All right, so there you go. It's a good day. It's a bad day for me, though, because I'm supposed to send a check to a dude who paid for a bunch of the BlizzCon stuff, and we owe him money, and I can't send it today because it's a federal holiday. but it's me and it's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Well, hello. So paying for what?
Here's the deal. We did a Kickstarter, right? Mm-hmm. And it all worked out, but they had to pay for a lot of that stuff before those funds got through, which is fine. It's just a timing thing. And we were supposed to bring a checkbook, and we left it on the bed.
With the laptop.
The laptop and the Nintendo 3DS. Mm. You might be familiar with it.
I am.
There was a semi-planned plan for me to meet up with Corey Stockton, lead content designer for World of Warcraft. And he and I were going to exchange pets. And I didn't do it. Yeah, we were going to have some Pokemon action there, but that didn't happen.
Oh, I didn't know you were playing the new Pokemon thing.
Yeah, it's good. It's the Pokemon, you know.
Sure.
I got the little plant people and the fireman.
Fireman.
I sound like a guy who doesn't know much about Pokemon. Because I don't.
Charizard? Is that who you're talking about?
I don't know if there's a D on the end, but yes. Is it Charizard? Maybe it is. Maybe you're right.
I don't know.
Again,
it's like a lizard of char.
You might be right. I come to this as a relative noob when it comes to Pokemon, and I thought this would be the time to jump in because all my other adult friends seem to be playing it, and so I felt a little better about it. Like back in the day, that seemed like a kid's game, and I kind of avoided it, and I stereotyped it as such and never played it, but now I am. So take that.
Nice.
Take that, everybody who thinks I'm not a man. Brian, it's good to be back, and it's good to be back home from BlizzCon, although as good as it is to be home and get some rest and see our families and whatnot, what a blast that was.
It was a great time. Seeing everybody, hanging out with everybody, all the people who came up to us who know you not only from the instance, but know the two of us from this show, this very show that we're on right now.
I have a theory about that because in 2011 when I went, admittedly, I wasn't as vocal on Twitter about, hey, make sure you come say hi. Right? I didn't do a lot of that.
Right.
I don't know what the big difference is. All I can think of is we had started TMS that year,
mm-hmm.
and have carried it, 2 years now. And there was an enormous uptick in people who would come up and say, you're Scott Johnson, or hey, I love your shows, or hey, whatever. There was like a recognition factor. And the more it happened, I mean, I couldn't walk, a block any one direction without running into at least 6 to 10 people.
Yeah.
Who would pull me out of line or wave from afar or see me from a food truck or something. Wave at me from the escalator. And I think the trick is TMS. I think TMS is where my ugly mug is for live shows anyway. And if they follow the show at all, then they're more likely to see photos and images and stuff because we do a lot more of that on Facebook and all this other stuff. So I think TMS is literally the key to that experience this year. It was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy. And people are stopping you left and right.
They are. It was great. In line at getting my badge, mm-hmm. I had two people in one stretch of line go, Brian Ibbett, mm-hmm. and pull me aside. And Tom and I had kind of a running joke. We were neither one of us taking it seriously, but anytime someone would come up and say, oh my God, you're Tom Merritt, he'd go, 1 point. And then at the very end, he made this great joke. So I was in the airport coming back. I was in LAX.
Mm-hmm.
Actually on the shuttle from the rental car place back to LAX.
Yeah.
And a guy says, hey, can I sit right here? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Because this was a pretty packed bus. So there was a seat next to me and a couple other ones. And he goes, so were you playing in L.A.? I said, yeah, I was having some fun.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know what he was saying?
Yeah.
And he says, so where'd you play? And I said, well, I was up in Anaheim at BlizzCon.
Oh,
and he's like,
I know where this is going.
He said, well, aren't you, you're in the Mekons, right? You're in the band, the Mekons. And I said, no, I'm just a guy. That's exactly what I said. I'm just a guy.
Wait, who are the Mekons? Is that a band you're familiar with?
It's a band I've heard. Yeah. I think I maybe even played them on Coverville.
Oh, wow. That's
so
funny.
First thing I do as soon as I get off that shuttle mm-hmm. is I jump into Google Images or whatever and look up the Mekons. There's not one person in the Mekons who looks like me.
Well, let's see. How do you spell that name?
Mekons.
O-N-S.
The Mekons.
Okay, we're looking them up.
And they've got,
that's a fairly big band.
It's a fairly large band,
you
right?
You don't look like any of those people.
No, and hopefully not the guy on the far left.
No.
If you're looking at that, or the dog.
None of these people look like you.
Right.
I don't understand. Hold on, I'm just scanning around. Okay, there's a guy on a guitar. He's got hair though, and he doesn't look like this.
I was wearing a hat.
Weird.
Yeah, so he might have. I don't know. I don't know.
I maybe. Okay, there is a guy on a guitar in a couple of these shots, and he's shaved his head completely. So maybe.
But I was wearing a hat. I mean, you probably could still tell that I was bald because.
That's crazy,
dude.
It
was a baseball cap, but...
You know who I think? I think I figured out who they think you are. Here, I'm going to send you this.
All right, Skype. Send it to me.
In fact, you know what? I'll put it in Skype or the chat room so you can all behold it. I think that's the shot heard around the world right there. That might be the one.
Dude, I'd love to... Look at the guy rocked in the...
big old stash.
The rhinestone pants and the denim vest.
Pretty hot. I would have confused you as well for this guy. Had I known who the Mekons were.
Peter Gabriel. That's why I should have said, no, I'm Peter Gabriel.
Yeah. Should have said that. I should have said you were, I'm David Bowie. I'm here for my son Duncan's new film about orcs and women. Whatever the hell he's doing. Hey, speaking
you
of which.
I have a lot to say about what's fair.
The most disappointing panel, by the way, was the film panel.
Oh, really? It's funny because that was when I was like, oh, I want to go to that. I was planning on going. And then. This guy Josh that I was hanging out with a lot for that weekend is like, well, let's go watch the Hearthstone finals. And I'm like, all right, yeah, that's cool. I can watch the film panel on the feed.
Yeah,
it's going to be more exciting to watch.
It was boring. It was super super boring. They didn't talk about they showed some concept art, which isn't much except concept art, and it looked great and everything, but they couldn't spill hardly any beans. They mm-hmm. didn't show the trailer that they even showed at Comic-Con. Like they didn't even show any footage.
Really,
the whatever teaser thing they made.
Yeah.
They didn't do any of that. Mostly it was Duncan Jones not being allowed to answer certain questions.
Oh, no.
It was bad. I was really disappointed in that. I was sad about it because I just thought we'd get more. I mean, this is it's BlizzCon. It's your chance to actually leak something interesting. We did find out that it's Uther and Durotar.
Is what Thrall's the dad. Story's going to be based on?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so that's at least something.
Old, you know, some old lore from Warcraft, you know, Tides of Darkness kind of business. So it's all interesting and stuff, but I don't know. I was really disappointed in that. But
so, yeah. And let me throw out one other. So, all right, we get, we you know, Blizzard, known for this great lavish experience. They limit it to these you know, small number of people so that they don't overpack this hall and everybody really, if you wait in line for a little bit, you're going to get a chance to play everything you want to play. You're going to get a chance to see the things you want to see, meet and get stuff signed by those people. But, and this is my first time going swag bag, little disappointing compared to previous years.
Yeah. Very disappointing. We didn't bring it up on the show cause we had Blizzard luminaries there.
That's right. Exactly.
I can guarantee we'll talk about it this weekend, but yeah, even compared to the very last one, pretty weak. Now, those toy things that are in there are not cheap. Like,
yeah.
Those are not cheap to make. I get it, you know.
No, they're very nice. They are very nice. And that is, you know, but that's it. I mean, the virtual stuff, the video game stuff, you get that.
Yeah.
You got a box of three really nice looking toys.
Yeah.
Kind of a good tie-in to Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's that they got cheap. What I think they did is they didn't want to go through the pain and anguish that is putting hand sanitizer bottles in there, and let's get a bunch of labor together to put all these wristbands in there, because what usually happens is they end up with tons of that stuff. That's why it all ends up at Nerdtacular. They're trying to unload it.
But
you make a good point. Yeah,
yeah,
I benefited from that.
We do it,
I suppose.
And if we you know, skimped out and just, I mean, the AIE bag. Compare that to the Guildhall bag was fantastic compared to what you got from Blizzard.
Completely agree. Way to go, Dave, by the way, if you're listening. Dave Michael, nice job.
For sure. That's who, you know what? I vote that as much as I love Dave Michael, maybe we vote to get him on Blizzard.
Mm.
Get him working for Blizzard.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to lose him, but you're right. Yeah. It would certainly have improved. Yeah, it was that was disappointing. And they had and we knew ahead of time what was in that thing, but when you actually got it and you went, oh.
Yeah, exactly. You heard about what was going to be it, and you thought, well, that's probably not going to be all. There's going to be other stuff, and they're just not. Nope.
Disappointing. Disappointing is what that
is. Yeah, he's got a postcard from SteelSeries and a map.
Yeah, and they didn't even have the big, like, guide in there they usually have. And
right.
Yeah, they skimped on that. I don't know what the deal was, but it's funny because overall, I mean, I never felt like anything else about the show was skimped at all.
Oh, no.
Like, everything was fantastic. The games were all great. The presentation was great. They had a great opening ceremonies. It was right down there in the bullpen for that.
Yeah. Now, there wasn't one in 2012, right?
No.
That was the year they skipped. Okay. In 2011, in front of the Anaheim Convention Center, on the very front of the building, they would have had just two. No, I'm sorry. They would have had three big banners, right? They would have just had StarCraft, Warcraft, and Diablo.
Correct. They did not, and they had Blizzard All-Stars then. It wasn't yet Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, did they? Okay.
But they didn't have a big, it was then. By then it was still a StarCraft 2 mod. Like, it wasn't full-on thing. And they weren't giving it a whole lot of presence other than it was playable. And I saw Gabe Newell from Valve there playing it. It's one thing I remember about that year. But anyway, this year they had, that thing was plastered with
five
big panels.
They had Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, and then the first three properties.
Warcraft, Diablo, and StarCraft,
Yeah.
It was intense.
It was intense.
Big year for the games. So,
it was a great time. And I got a big grats to the AIE Guildhall, the folks putting that together. They did an incredible job.
Yep. Al and Link and everybody who was involved in that just did a bang-up job. And made it kind of this awesome home base for us anytime we needed it. And it was just great to go there and hang out with people and chill. And doing the podcasts and stuff in there was a blast. And I don't want to give away too much, but listen to the instance this week, everybody.
Holy cow. I was on the other side of a Japanese screen from what was going on. I was listening live, and I was choking down a massive thing of dragon eggs, tater tots smothered in chili and cheese.
You went to the Viking truck
or the Lost Viking truck or whatever it is.
Yeah, those guys, they are awesome. And they're, by the way, listeners and have been on this. We've done a sponsor spot for them before, and that food was insane.
Yes, and so I know you told me, you said, you can just go up to the back. He told us that we can go up to the back. Well, there are three or four people in that truck.
Yeah.
And I knew that if I knocked and said, hey, I'm Brian Ibbett from Morning Stream, yeah, I would have gotten the three people on there who had no idea who I was.
Probably. It was the one dude with the beard. But then I realized if I had told you that, that was also sending you on a fool's errand.
That would narrow it down to three people on that.
And about 30,000 other people. So, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Who has a beard here at BlizzCon? Everyone has a beard. Even some of the ladies do.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, sitting on the other side of that Japanese screen, but looking through and seeing the people that were guests on that show.
Yeah. We had Russell Brower, and we had Greg Ghostcrawler Street.
Horde side,
just eating it up, man. So even if you're not a fan of the instance and you want to hear just a cool guy who runs neat things in the world, go listen to that. It was fantastic. Yeah. And it's up now, so you can get it now. Cool. I got to tell you a couple quick stories that happened there that are foremost in my mind. There's a million other stories to tell. You and I had some funny, funny conversations I wish we would have recorded. One about the car you rented. Might be a little blue. We'll save it for Night Attack 3, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, right.
And what was the other one? Oh, speaking of my Tourette's that I seem to have lately, where I come up with not real good swear words for Tourette's, but kind of like mangled ones.
Yes.
We'll talk about that sometime. But one of the ones that really stuck out is Kim kind of got hosed in this deal. She had a ticket, but she had a regular guest pass, and I had a press pass. So we got down there Thursday early, 4 o'clock, to get our tickets. So we thought we'd get in quick. Not so much. She got into the labyrinth of hell and got stuck there for an hour and 45 minutes. And during which time, a guy that weighed, we figure, right between somewhere between 450 and 550 pounds, passed out in front of her.
Oh, geez.
Collapsed on the floor and took up so much room on the floor that... Now you've got people mashed up against each other and pushed up against chains, and it, like a hazard has been created by this guy falling.
Some people just walked around him like a trail of ants, like, well, the lion on the other side of him is moving. I gotta get my pass.
Well, they were all stuck. So what happened, I guess they had a contingency plan for this. So a bunch of security guys ran in and they rerouted these chains to create a kind of a loop around this guy. So now there's like chains around him, like in a way he's like this. He's on display now. He's this guy laying there.
It's an exhibition piece.
Now, she said she could tell he was breathing, but he was just enormous and just, we don't know what happened. Was it a heart attack? Was it a stroke? Was it anything? You know, you have maybe just dehydration or something. It was, you know, packed house. That guy was pretty big, looked like he was huffing it. And paramedics came in, whisked in there, pulled up there with a gurney, and the guy looks at the other guy and goes, well, you ain't going to fit in this one.
We're going to need a bigger gurney.
And I don't know how they ended up finally getting him out of it. I think they may have used two gurneys and put him on this thing and took him out. So that was scary, right?
That is scary. I'm just amazed that it just surprises me that, all right, somebody passes out in line, that the first thought is to, all right, well, let's move the chain so we can all get around him.
Yeah. It does seem like a, what's it like? It seems like the animal world would do it. Like, these ants got stepped on. We'll just go around these ants.
Was he getting any attention? Like somebody making sure he was, turned on his side so he's not choking on his tongue or anything like that?
I should have asked her. I didn't get all that deep into it. And she was not in a place where she could do anything.
Yeah.
Like, she was stuck. And I think a lot of people were. So I'm sure there were some people that were like, whoa, and turn around and do it. They had to have been. I mean, if you're ignoring that while that's happening right next to you, then you suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you're a terrible human being.
I understand, you don't want to do something that would make the situation worse. If you're not medically trained, you could end up, causing more problems than you're solving. But there has to be somebody there who, can just make sure, all right, can you go get some water? Don't worry, I'll save your place in line. Go get a bottle of water.
You're saying you don't want somebody to perform a tracheotomy with their big gulp straw or something like that?
That's right. I saw it on MASH. I could do it.
Yeah, that with a pen, right? Wasn't it a pen?
Right, exactly.
They made Radar do it on the phone?
They made Radar do it over the phone. BJ Hawkeye walked him through it.
It was just one good hand, though, because the other one was hidden by a clipboard or whatever.
That's right.
Oh, man. Go ask
there
your uncle.
No survivors.
You're the Gary Berghoff of TMS. So that happened. The other thing that happened was I was farted on, and let me tell you how that went. So as you
I'm sure you were more than you realize at BlizzCon, but right. At least once that you're aware of.
That's a good point. But you know how Veronica always says conventions are full? Well, she says a few things. She says this.
The key? Robot arms.
And things like this.
I should say, like, Scott Johnson is my bitch.
But she also says that conventions are full of hot farts. She's always told me that. Now, I didn't really experience any crop dusting or terrible experiences on the con, at the con, on the floor, anywhere in there. And I spent some hot, sweaty time in the StarCraft area. Doing that film stuff, and there were people freaking everywhere. That was the whole idea, is to get as many people on this camera thing as we could.
Sure.
Nobody farted on me. No odd smells. In fact, most people, pretty deodorized.
Yeah, I only had two situations I can remember where I was in line by somebody who maybe did not hit the speed stick first thing.
Yeah. I mean, very rare for a con like this. So I was very impressed with all that. You guys, very hygienic. I think we're all growing up. The game is getting older, so are we. I think that's what's going on. Anyway,
we're all growing together.
I'm real happy about that, and everything goes great. So now we're done. Con's over. We have that breakfast. Everyone's hanging out. We missed you, but you went on your way. I said goodbye to you the night before. Everybody else hugging, shaking hands, exchanging well wishes, talking to Patrick. Scott, listen, I will wear this stupid scarf the entire time I am here this weekend.
And now you can follow it on Twitter, @ Patrick Scarf.
Yeah, Patrick Scarf, two S's there
Patrick's
in the middle.
Scarf, yes.
It's fantastic Twitter feed. I need to get that password. Anyway.
Yes. So, what makes you think I have it?
I don't know.
What you're talking about.
You're not the mastermind here. So we leave. I'm on a plane already. I'm thinking, I'm going to go home. No hot farts. Everything's been great.
I've dodged that bullet.
I sure have. Well,
I'm in the clear.
Here's what happens. We get our seating. The lights are low. It's an evening flight, so it's going to be dark by the time we get there. You can see the sun beginning to set. It's a nice bright light through the windows. It's a beautiful scene, actually. Mm-hmm. Sitting with my wife, my lovely wife, who's just been fantastic all weekend, and just love having her here. And there's a lady on the other side who's very pleasant and nice. And we mostly checked our bags because it was a full flight and they didn't want to pack all the overheads. So there was a lot less of that going on, which I love because, I hate all that. And down the aisle comes a couple and they sit down across from us. And the third seat by the window is not taken. Okay. And so I think, well, someone will probably come along. And sure enough, somebody comes along and says, oh, I'm sorry, that's my seat. And they go, oh, we wondered if you'd come. And they get up and I'm thinking, look at those human beings having pleasant conversation with one another. What a beautiful day this is.
Right.
Guy gets up, turns around to get out of the way. His wife comes back up next to him so this other lady can get into their spot, but then they'll just shuffle right back in.
Right.
His cinched up, over-belted Levi Strauss 501 shit pants are literally an inch from my face because I'm on the aisle seat.
Right.
And I'm not paying that close attention to it. I have a book out because Delta's letting you have your electronic devices on all the time now, right?
Oh,
it's great.
Frontier isn't yet.
Yeah, those bastards.
Yeah.
So that's happening. And I feel his jeans brush the side of my stubble over here. Just a little brush.
No.
Just like a little foot. I mean, I'm right on the level of it. Now, I can live with that. I don't mind if another man's clothed butt comes in contact with me in incidental ways.
I wouldn't say I wouldn't mind. I'd mind it, but I'm not going to freak out over it.
But he cracked one off while he's standing there. And it wasn't like, oh, sorry, everybody. It was just like a little like that.
Oh, no.
And my knee-jerk reaction was like jerk the other way. And Kim's kind of leaning on my shoulder, so I totally jerk into her. And she goes, what? Are you okay? You all right? And I go, no, I'm not okay. And I'll tell you in a second. And so for the rest of the flight, even though I think it was totally psychosomatic, I thought I could smell bacon coming out of this guy.
Little farticules.
Yeah, farticules all over me. Yeah. Like the toothbrushes on the MythBusters episode.
Right.
So anyway, that happened and it was mortifying and I'll never want to deal with that again. I got farted on, man. What are you gonna
do? That would have been a little too much.
One final note and then we'll call Daryl as we are running a little long today. Podcastawards.com is still a place you can go and vote for this show. in two categories, many other Frog Pants shows in many categories, and many of our friends shows in many other categories. Vote your conscience. Vote daily. Actually, this is the last day, isn't it?
This is the last week. No. It's not the last day.
It ends on the 15th?
5 days. 15th is when it ends.
Okay, great. So. We'll celebrate with PS4s that day.
That's right.
That'll be fantastic. Yeah. So please, everyone, within the sound of our voice, go vote. You can vote every day starting now if you haven't yet or if you already have been. Thank you. And keep going until you can't click no more at the end of this week. And we really appreciate your votes because we're excited to win all that stuff.
And we're having a big get together in Vegas to celebrate this. And I'm hoping you can make it, Scott.
Plan
I know
it.
You got a wedding right around.
If I can get around that wedding thing and make it work, I'm going. So
cool. January 4th at the Velveteen Rabbit. Details to come, but
the Velveteen Rabbit.
The Velveteen Rabbit.
Isn't that some kids' book reference?
It's a story. Yep.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
From Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. No.
Lewis Carroll, I think.
Oh, that's the one. Sure. Why the hell not? You could tell me it's from...
I don't know. Actually, I don't know who wrote The Velveteen Rabbit. I know there was... I mean, The White Rabbit was in...
you could say it was in the last chapter of The Hobbit, and I'd believe you. So, say whatever you want.
I don't know who wrote Velveteen Rabbit.
I don't
know. It is Marjorie Williams wrote it.
Isn't that this mascot for Velveteen? Or is that Ovaltine I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of Ovaltine. What? You don't buy Velveteen is not a drink you can buy as a kid to help your bones grow.
No. Velveteen is a cloth.
Oh.
It's a fabric.
All right. Well, then all of this is
terrible.
It's
like velvet, but it's not old enough to drive.
Okay. Perfect.
For drinking.
Oh, my gosh. It's a Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
You may remember Orange Air from such shows as Coverville episode 987, but did you know that aside from their cover of The Cure's Killing an Arab, they have 2 5-track EPs of completely original indie rock goodness for you to purchase and download at orangeair.bandcamp.com. Yes, it's true. Go now or after the show and hear Nathan, Jessica, Mike, and Jason rock your socks with the latest sound from Jacksonville, Florida. Orange Air, it's swell.
It sure is.
Well.
Hey, it's Daryl Skills, everybody. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Hey, you would have fit right in this weekend. We had a blast, and there were so many AIE people, and somebody even told me out in the street, just pulled me, says, Scott, I don't want to bug you, but I just want you to know Morning Stream just makes my whole life better. I don't even know what I'd do without it, and I'm one of those people that hates it if you miss one, and I love Stump a Trek Nerd. It's freaking amazing. You tell Daryl I just freaking love him. He's just the best. He was so into it. So people were mentioning even Daryl's little segment here on the show over the weekend.
Wow. And you can tell them I was there, but it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true. You were literally 2 weeks ago.
You paved the way for us. I saw the note you scratched into the side of Cinderella's castle. It was lovely.
Nice job. What did you write there? What would you write?
Live long and prosper.
Oh, perfect.
It's a mineral.
Yeah. Nicely done. So, Daryl, it's good to have you here and back. And as always, we have a hard trivia question that is written in the vein of Star Trek so that you can try to answer it and see how you do. Let's go ahead and jump right in. Skeletor. Oh, Dr. Crusher. Was the chief medical officer on the Enterprise D during the run of The Next Generation. She had an annoying son called Wesley. I feel like this is like a primer.
See, spot run.
In the episode Sarek Skeletor. What? Oh, in the episode Sarek, Skeletor, a.k.a. Dr. Crusher, Mike really likes to call her Skeletor, does what many people have wanted to do to Wesley, slap the hell out of him. She is upset that he did not go to a concert on the ship. Where does Wesley say he went instead? Did he say he went to the holodeck, which is A, B, the gymnasium, C, the arboretum, or D, 10 forward? I can tell you what I always go 10 forward because it always seems to be the answer. So every time I'd read that, I just go, oh, look, 10 forward.
10 forward.
That's probably the one. don't think too hard or don't answer it yet. Well, you can think hard. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But we're going
to
do this.
Feel free to think
hard. Aren't you hungry?
Well, it's a foodie.
We're going to eat... what looks to be Japanese Oreos here. And I have to think they are. I mean, it's the same design.
Not Japanese. I'd say Thai.
Oh, is this Thai?
Thai, yeah.
They just got funny shapes in there, Brian. I don't know who the hell
they
come from.
It's funny how all these different... I mean, I know it's all the same language, but they're really masters of the font, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stuff they do with fonts to make it look like it's a completely different language than the completely different language that we're familiar with.
But there's bits in it like those are backwards G's and that's an S with the state of Utah laid on top of it. Like, you know, right. Like you can make something out of it. But So I don't think you can translate this, but it reads like phospho.
right.
But it looks like some kind of purpley grape flavored Oreo cookie. This, well, it is an Oreo because look at the Oreo cookie itself. It has Oreo imprinted on it.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So that has to be
this is blueberry ice cream flavored Oreo sandwich cookies.
Oh, wow. Okay. First.
It says that under the flap.
First thing I noticed.
No, I don't have that one.
Oh, you don't? Should be in the Japanese slash whatever box.
I have strawberry, and I don't know what this is. It almost looks like pumpkin or something. And chocolate. Oh, that's Ovaltine.
Yeah, I've got the strawberry and the mango maybe as well, but there was a third one that's purple. Hmm. You don't have that third one?
Well, you can try one of your other ones if you want.
No, this is good. No, it's like I don't have that.
Well, try one of those other flavors. We'll do that. Now we have a little variety here. But two things I noticed when I popped this out. Number one, they use way less filling than we do.
Oh, really?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
you can tell that just from the thickness of the wrapper. I mean, it's
real thin.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, so they're not into the stuffing. They don't like that so much over there.
There's no doubt. This is called half stuff.
Half stuff. Oh, the half stuff is the best. And then the purple on the package does not match this goo in the middle of this. This is a pale blue. Like, that's nothing like that. Look at that. You see that? That looks
I'm holding it up to the camera.
Somebody smushed gum. It doesn't look like
it's like right. It's gray fruit stripe. It's day old fruit stripe on the
oh my gosh, fruit stripes!
Wow, even mine is wow. That is thin. That's like a quarter of the normal amount.
You're probably healthier and better for us. All right, here we go.
Yeah, actually, I think I prefer this amount.
Ooh, I like this flavor though. Ooh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, this is better.
Yeah.
Oh, they should make these here.
Yeah, I'd eat these more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for having too much of that waxy stuff in the middle, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is more my speed. That's really good. All right, well, all my complaints aside, it's a little gritty at the end, isn't it? Would you get a little sand in your mouth?
A little bit, yeah. I'm noticing that now.
Yeah. But you know what they say about Indonesian food? It's always, everything tastes like sand in the end.
Even the strawberry one's kind of that way.
Oh, well, there you go. Thank you.
All right, that works.
Yeah, thank you. Who is it? I don't know who sent us the stuff anymore.
Oh, I have the sheet.
I have a giant combined box that no longer has names on it.
I should, you and I'll talk off air about what's left in one box. Tim, or Dosetsu in the Frog Pants community in AIE.
Dosetsu, yeah.
Leo, the founder of Fantasy Coin.
Fantasy, he's great.
Fantasy Coin, man.
Yeah, making fantasy coins. What's that's not bad power. What's his real power?
Able to make a 3D representation of your face on a little metal disc. Excelsior.
Perfect. Okay. And I know, by the way, there's some chat room people here that were at BlizzCon as well. Nice to see you guys again.
Yes.
Remember that kid from Mexico came in?
Yes.
He goes, I talked to this on Twitter, but he goes, I'm your first Mexican fan. And we said, awesome, original Mexican fan. And we talked and I go, how long have you been listening to the show? And he goes, since I was 12 or something. Or listening to The Instance is where he started.
Right.
Listening to TMS now. And I go, oh, that's totally cool. And he goes, oh, my gosh, I'm so old. And we're just, talking about that. But he's got this exquisite mustache.
It was an impressive mustache.
And
yeah.
I said, when'd you get that? And he goes, oh, I've been growing it about since then, too, about 13. And I went, holy crap. And he goes, don't worry about it. It's our racial stat. He called it his racial. It's his racial passive, dude. Made me laugh. So
that
good.
That was awesome. He was super cool, too.
So many people like that, you know? I wish I remembered everyone's name because I'd like to talk about them all, but I can't. It's my favorite thing about that whole experience was just all those people. All right, Daryl, good job. Oh, birthdays. Somebody?
Yes. That would be somebody. Peter Paros. Yeah, what?
Go ahead. No,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Peter Paros, I think is how you say it, is 53 today. He was on TNG, and he played a Klingon tactical officer in A Matter of Honor.
Oh, very nice. Those guys, those Klingons, dime a dozen, man. I don't remember that episode, but I remember you don't like any of that House Duras versus House.
Yeah, who cares about all that?
Yeah, you're
That's
not into
all
that.
Klingon soap opera junk.
The Klingon infighting was never Daryl's favorite thing about Star Trek.
You might also remember him from Knight Rider.
Oh, really?
The original, the
also a Klingon, or
let's see. He was It doesn't say. It just says, known for Knight Rider, Real Genius, Death Before Dishonor, and Adam 12.
Wow. Oh, I may remember him. I liked Adam 12 as a kid. I remember that being cool.
You? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I felt like it was really grown up, and I felt like I was seeing something only grown-ups could understand when I watched that, because I was really young. But I remember Adam 12 being like, oh, this is what old people do.
Oh, yeah. He apparently was in a lot of the shots of him in Knight Rider. You know, he's right there with Hasselhoff and
the other guy.
The other guy.
The old guy that ran the
the old butler. Exactly.
The Higgins of that show.
Right, exactly.
He was the Higgins he was the Alfred the butler of that show.
Right. I'm trying to find a picture of him from Real Genius because I've seen that movie a million times. Oh, is he? Well, okay, anyway.
Hey, on your own time, buddy.
I've delayed this show long, and I've given Daryl way too much time to think about the answer.
All right, Daryl, now's your chance to shine and show us that you can do it. It's the episode of Sarek. It's Crusher getting pissed at Wesley, and Wesley saying he was someplace else. Was it the holodeck, the gymnasium, the arboretum, or 10 forward?
Now, let's see. The holodeck would be too obvious. And since when did Wesley ever go to the gym?
Never.
So...
I'm going to Tasha Station to pick up some power converters.
I want that on a t-shirt. Since when did Wesley ever go to the gym? I love that. It's a great, great quote. Pull that out. So I'm ice warm. We'd like that one on a plate, please. Thank you. All right, go ahead.
I don't think it's 10 forward, because that's kind of obvious, too. Yeah. I guess that leaves the Arboretum, which is kind of what I think it is anyway.
You think that was it? All right, let's find out.
I think so.
Judges know. Is it?
Congratulations!
It sure is.
You're a winner!
He says his date wanted to go to the Arboretum. In this episode, Sarek's Bendai syndrome causes the crew to act violently against each other. Here's a clip that he made of Skeletor slapping Wesley with audio. What? With audio of Scott doing a Skeletor impression. Oh, okay, fun. I haven't heard this yet, so here we go.
Nice.
Silence, you fool!
Oh, he's slapping him. That's actually pretty good. All right, put it in the chat here. You guys can enjoy this.
There's a video to go along with that?
Yeah. It's actually her slapping Wesley. And then it's that audio over it. Sounds pretty good. There you go. Daryl, congratulations. We've started the week off with a bang. My understanding is today there's no minerals or aliens anymore. What's our new... Do we have a new little quiz to leave us with? I don't remember now.
I haven't made one yet, but I managed to find a few little goodies, so maybe we can do this a couple more times.
All right.
While I invent something else.
All right. So while you're working on that, find Daryl on Twitter, the Trek Nerd. You can find him on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. All right, give us one of the what sounds like the final alien versus mineral questions. Go.
Okay, here we go. how about this one?
Okay.
Well, there's I want to do a whole bunch more because these are really good.
Right.
Bryonite.
Wow.
Well, that's a sexy, sexy mineral.
Mm. causes impotence in men.
I am going to say mineral, actually.
I will say alien just to be contrary.
Man, of course it's a mineral.
Damn it. Effing mineral. Why, it's the news.
Yes, and Tech Phoenix 2013 is this weekend. It's November 16th and 17th at the University of Advancing Technology in Tempe, Arizona. This year is extra exciting. We have Frog Panthers Nicole and Mark Spagnolo for their keynote session. They're going to have an after party on Saturday, and local legend Derek Neighbors is closing out the event on Sunday afternoon. Session tracks include audio, visual, writing and blogging, marketing and business, social, and coding/geekery. Tickets are available for only $10 at techphx.eventbrite.com and use the code TMS during checkout to waive the ticket processing fees. I hope to see all my fellow Arizona tadpoolers there.
Sounds fantastic. Spagnolo, that's Italian. Fantastic. They were great to hang out with, as always. You know what the deal is with Nicole? Here's what I got to say about her.
What's the deal with Nicole?
What's the deal? She is like, of anyone I've known in this podcasty kind of hangout world that we live in, She's the most sister-like person I know. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm hanging out with my sister when I'm with her. Like, There's a genuine kind of weird familial bond that I feel when I'm around her. And when I say goodbye to her, I feel like I'm sending my sister off to Arizona. Or when someone is trolling her, I feel like I have to defend her like I would a sister.
She's got a very natural persona, a natural welcoming persona where, you know, you just fall right into conversation. It's like you never, you know, it's like the conversation we had at Dragon Con didn't end. We just picked up right where we left off here.
Yeah.
You know, and she's great like that.
Now, her husband, on the other hand, he's fine. He's fine.
You mean Patrick?
Was he? Oh, yeah, I do. I don't understand the difference. Scott, what? Scott, have you played Heroes of the Storm, Scott? Do all Americans shoot each other constantly? That's a bad accent.
What is this liqueur that you're talking about?
Patrick was really fun to hang out with this year. I'm so glad. I'm so glad we just had so much time with him. That is unusual. Usually you're so busy. Him and Guy were hanging out. It was great.
Right. Yeah, Guy's great, too.
He's awesome. All those guys.
I got a CD from Guy that I can't wait to listen to.
It's his. He plays, right? He's a guitarist and stuff.
Yes.
That's awesome.
He looks like a rock and roller, doesn't he?
He totally does, and he is smooth.
He looks like the British version of Mumford & Sons, like...
And he looks in your eyes, dude. Actually, the Mumford & Sons are British, aren't they?
Oh, are they?
I think they are.
Oh.
I think they are.
He's the super British version of Mumford & Sons.
I was going to say.
It's funny. I always thought they were like an Americana.
Well, their styles and their influences, I think, are definitely from that, but those dudes are full-on Brits.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Whenever I know even the dumbest bit of music trivia that you didn't know before that, there's something gets its wings. I don't know what gets its wings. It's a really rare moment, folks. Write it down.
No. I don't know nearly as much as I make it out to look like I know.
Imagine a world.
Imagine
a world where I know anything more than Brian Ibbett does. It's hard to do, actually. It's very hard to do.
Ridiculous. It's redonkulous is what it is.
Boo.
Boo!
Oh, I haven't heard that in a while. All right, here we go. Let's do the news. Man nails testicles to Red Square cobblestones.
Sure. Who hasn't?
Well, look. When in Russia.
It's like it's a tongue twister. Yeah. Man nails testicles to Red Square cobblestones.
Man nails testicles to Red Square cobblestones. He rolls off the tongue. A Russian
seashells by the seashore.
Russian performance artist. This is probably all captured on somebody's dash cam because isn't that what they do in Russia now?
Right. Yeah, but you can't drive through Red Square.
That's true. Russian performance artist was hospitalized Sunday after stripping naked and nailing his testes to a Red Square cobblestone in protest against the Kremlin's crackdown on political rights. A video of the graphic action. Graphic action.
How are the graphics?
Available on Russian websites. Why aren't they available here? Whatever. Showed artist Peter, I guess that's how you say those names. That name.
Piotr.
Pavlensky, sitting naked outside Lenin's mausoleum, being covered with a blanket. You know what? You really want to protest? Go nail Lenin's testicles to a cobblestone.
There you go.
That would be something. He was covered with a blanket by police officers while horrifying passersby as they looked on. With their dash cams fully loaded. The state-run RIA Novitsi news agency said Pavlensky was taken to police station after being treated in a central Moscow clinic. The St. Petersburg-based artist said in a statement posted on the granny.ru website, that he was trying to draw attention to Russia's society's inaction in the face of the development of this police state. According to him, that's his quote. Russia marked its annual police day holiday on Sunday. It is not the first time the 29-year-old has resorted to eye-watering methods of protest. I will not disgust you with them, though. You can go read it for yourself.
Yeah.
But gross, right?
Yeah. Since I don't understand the whole protest measure of I'm doing something to myself to get you to stop doing something, and it seems like, especially if you're protesting in actions, like, well, we didn't care about what you're protesting, so why would we care about what you're doing too?
Right.
But
how do you feel about hunger strikes? Same kind of deal. You're just killing yourself.
Exactly, and I think all human life is with a few exceptions, I think all human life is precious, but I feel like if you're willing to do that to yourself, knowing the possible consequences, you obviously care less about your life than you want me to.
Right.
So why should I stop whatever behavior it is that you're trying to get me to stop?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Figure out a better way to protest that is not, oh, gosh, don't, whatever you do, don't stick nails in your genitals and nail yourself to a cobblestone street. We'll do whatever. Whatever you want, we'll do it.
I mean, I think it does. Like if somebody sets themselves on fire or does this or stands in front of a tank, or whatever, right?
Right.
Those things tend to draw a bunch of attention, and I think that's the end game.
That's the end game, exactly. Right. It's like, why aren't you doing something?
I'd bring some fake testicles, by the way. I would not. I would not do
that. Jay Hammond, seeing the tadpole, says, I hope he didn't hit his thumb with the hammer.
That hurts. That'd be a real shame, wouldn't it?
That would be your definition of irony. Irony, I think.
Irony. Or Irie is what I heard.
Irie.
Man, there's another man. Man breaks through SeaTac airport security and runs onto the tarmac. This is Seattle International hoo-ha. I don't know. That's a good question. And then nailed his testicles to a 747.
I didn't get peanuts.
Oh, by the way, I don't know what happened here. So on the flight coming home, this really nice flight attendant guy. There were two guys actually doing the whole flight. And these guys were awesome. My gosh, like suited up, like... sharp as the Men's Warehouse looking guys. Just, you're gonna love the way you look looking guys. And they're up and down, just perfect. You need a blanket, you know, thank you, sir. Blah, blah, blah. Just perfect. These guys were nailing the job description, just so good. And what was my point? Oh, at one point, the guy comes and while we're landing and says, I'm sorry, you're all gonna have to put your tablets away. And we're all like, well, wait, I thought the deal was we could have these out now. Nope, put your tablets away. You can only have your phone out, put your tablets away. So we're tucking our tablets away. About 5 minutes later, I see this guy come out with his hands raised in the air, walking down the aisle with a big grin on his face going, I was wrong. Take your tablets out. I was wrong. Take your tablets out. I was wrong. And he just kept saying it all the way down the length of the plane.
Oh, that's funny.
So they're not used to this yet. They're not used to what the rules are or how it works. So.
And maybe that's why Frontier didn't say, all right, yeah, because of FAA new regulations, you're allowed to keep your laptop and your tablet out. Mm-hmm. By the way.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this. I mentioned this during one of the meals that I was having with folks, and I can't remember if you were at that one. I've been playing this game on the iPad Mini called Device 6.
Oh, no, I haven't heard of this.
I am ready to declare this my favorite portable game of the year.
Wow, Device 6. Oh, this Device? Is the guys that did. No, I've heard about this, but didn't get it. They're famous for another game that everyone loved, and then this is their hot new thing.
I'm not surprised because it is so damn good. I could see them being, you know, this straddles the line between like, it's like a choose your own adventure. No, it's not even choose your own adventure. It's like it's so hard to describe. It's like Lost meets a choose your own adventure book. All right, I'll put that out there, meets Myst.
These are the guys that did Yearwalk Companion, or Yearwalk rather.
Oh, never heard of that.
Which is also really, really good.
Hmm.
Okay, I've been meaning to get this. I'm glad you reminded me. I'll check it out.
Buy it. Wear headphones, and you will devour it.
iPad or phone.
iPad for sure.
Okay, I'm in. Yeah. I'm in.
iPad for sure. It's $399, best $399 you're going to spend all year. And
that seems inexpensive. Mm-hmm. It's one less crappy latte you're going to get at the Starbucks.
Right, exactly.
Which, by the way, can I just say the worst Starbucks I've ever been in my entire life was the one in the Hilton. Don't ever go to that one. In Anaheim. Oh, it was packed. Yeah. They had a line longer than the ticket line for BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah.
Horrifying. All right.
Okay, sorry. Man runs out onto the tarmac.
Yeah, runs out of the tarmac. Man in his 20s bolted through a Seattle-Tacoma International Airport security checkpoint. What is with us in airports and stuff? Like, Patrick made a really good point yesterday. I said to him, I go, Patrick, why do you think all Americans are running around with guns all day? I go, our crime rates are actually down on the whole. Like, I was doing the story we talked about the other day. Statistics are down. We're less violent than we've been before. And he goes, no, Scott, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. There is crime in France, he says. He goes, I'm not saying there's no crime, but shootings in airports? This does not happen in a civilized world.
I love your Patrick.
It's not very good. It's not very good.
It is the best ever.
It's not very good. It's more like, Scott, are you coming? I can't do it. But it's a good point, you know? Like, he makes a good point. We shouldn't be shooting anybody in airports. Can we stop that? And guys running out naked on the tarmac, quit doing that. Oh, I actually said he ran naked. He didn't. He wasn't naked. He just ran. I just added something to the story that wasn't there. A man in his 20s bolted through a Seattle-Tacoma Airport International Airport security checkpoint, ran down a concourse and onto the tarmac, and was arrested Friday night after police caught up with him in an empty airplane. This according to an airport spokesman. I am airport spokesman. Quote, it appears to be a drug-induced situation, spokesman Perry Cooper said. Sounds like a comic book Well, probably because Perry's in it, I guess, is what right. threw me off.
Perry Cooper.
Perry Cooper, Private Eye. What's going on, Batman? Let's see. Added the man was not armed. He was arrested inside the American Airlines plane after a short struggle. Police said he would be booked for investigation of trespass and assault on an officer. The plane was being checked for anything suspicious before returning to service. How'd you like to be on that plane? I wouldn't.
Yeah. No.
No other airport operations were effected. So there you have it. That happened. That's a thing. Here's another thing I'd like you folks to be interested in and like and hear about. Squarespace.com. Squarespace.com. They make you, or they help you make an incredible portfolio or website or whatever. Let's say you're a photographer. All right, we're going to play a little game here. Okay. Just Brian, if you can, I want you to imagine that you are a photographer.
Photographer?
As some people say in Utah, photographer.
Okay.
Oh, I love doing
pictures of fur.
Photography uh-huh. down by the creek. Anyway, let's say that you are that guy and you're thinking to yourself, man, my photos are amazing. And then in this digital era of photo work, I am a hot topic, but no one knows because I can't send them anywhere. I don't want to send a physical portfolio through the mail anymore. Like that big mm-hmm. thing that mm-hmm. Steve Martin ran around with in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. The thing was too big.
Oh, God, yeah. Right.
Good reminder, by the way, that thing's streaming and we should totally do it for FilmSec. Anyway.
I love that. Live. Well, That's a narration show or a live sack.
I think it should be. I love that movie so much. Anyway, and you're going, well, I don't know how to do this. I want to focus on the photo side. I don't want to focus on the website, even though you could. But let's just say you're website. Not that guy. The right. website, according to Greg Street.
Cord side.
There he is. So I say to you, go to squarespace.com and build that portfolio. Make it any way you want. Have it look the way you want. Even sell your prints there because you can. All those e-commerce solutions are built right in. Simple, easy, lots of templates to work with. They're adding new stuff all the time. It's responsive, meaning that design will work on a phone, a tablet, a desktop without you having to do any kind of weird middleware
coding
solution.
Or anything like that, creating RSS templates or...
That's the hot thing, man.
CSS templates.
Responsive design is the big new thing. So it's all there at squarespace.com. And if you use the code at checkout, morning11, 11 like the number, 1-1, numeral 11, morning11, they'll get you 20% off. So give it a try. No credit card needed for the trial. Just see what you like. See if you think it's going to work for you. And if it is, morning11, save 20% at squarespace.com. Do it today.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
Hallyu-juku, a haphazard foray into East Asian pop culture, covering everything from K-pop to dramas to variety to even food. Find it at kpoppodcast.com, because Brian saying Hallyu-juku.com won't help you know how to spell it, and we both know it's true. Completely read that blind.
You did great. I think that was good.
Hallyu-juku.
Hallyu-juku.com.
That's right.
That's even hard. Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
Was kicked out of Argentina hotel. Another hotel has kicked Bieber out after Brazil leaked a video of a scandal and his graffiti bust. You see the new one where he's sleeping? Videotaped him sleeping. Now it's all over the internet. Yeah, people are making all kinds of meme videos from it.
I know the Spagnolos videotaped Dill sleeping.
Yeah, they did. He doesn't know it yet.
Not like there's not already a bunch of video of Dill sleeping already out on the internet.
This is true. Man, Dill's, he was great this weekend. What a fun time it is with him. Let's see. The singer was booted from this Argentina accommodations after a crowd bombarded the hotel Farina. Farina. The guy that just died with the mustache. What was his name? Something Farina.
Oh, Dennis Farina.
Farina Hotel in Argentina. You heard it here first. The trouble for Justin Bieber in South America isn't stopping at the apparent brothel bust. Don't make me say that. Huffington Post or New York Daily News. Jeez. Leaked sleeping video and graffiti snafu. You know, that sounds like three iOS apps you just got to download.
It really does.
Apparent brothel bust is amazing. Leaked sleeping video. And if you can, pick up Graffiti Snafu. It's free to play, but, you know, they don't really nickel and dime you. It's fine. Bieber was reportedly kicked out of his hotel in Argentina over the weekend. The heartbreak singer, age 19, was asked to leave his Buenos Aires accommodations after scores of rowdy fans swarmed the hotel. Well, that's not his fault, is it?
No.
If they
No.
Yeah, whatever.
It's the fan. Yeah, it's he's going to attract that kind of audience, so.
I feel like celebrity poop is often him doing a dumb thing and then Miley Cyrus doing a dumb thing.
It's true.
Oh, guess what? Next story is about Miley Cyrus doing a dumb thing. Miley Cyrus, she's the one that's dancing with Molly and Lickin' Hammers. You know her.
Mm-hmm.
Lights up on stage at MTV European Music Awards.
Prosthetic tongue.
Oh, yeah. It's like Jabba the Hutt. It takes three midgets to run it. You know, there's there are eight little people running Jabba the Hutt. I don't know if you
how
knew
many,
that.
I wonder how many run Miley Cyrus.
Two. One for the tongue and one for the, I don't know.
For the rest of her. The twerk.
The twerking one. Two guys on their one's on the shoulders of the other one.
That's right.
Move that ass, Bill.
I think that needs to be a costume. That's, or not a costume, a comic.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know what? I'm going to write that down. Hold on all a second, right. Everybody. That's a really good idea. All right. I wrote it down. I'm going to say, how many? Did you know it takes eight little people to run Jabba the Hutt?
You do a little cross section of Jabba the Hutt with the placement of the eight people running him. And then you do right next to it a cross section of Miley Cyrus with the two people running her.
That's pretty good. Anyway, so you were disturbed by her at the VMAs. Well, blah, 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 blah. What else? As previously reported earlier today, the pop star has continued her offending people who enjoy being offended by things Miley Cyrus does group. When she lit up what mostly definitely did not look like a cigarette at the MTV European Music Awards in Amsterdam. Well, of course it's in Amsterdam, and marijuana is great.
Right.
So, yeah, she's lit up a joint and smoked it on stage. So.
Now, see, I can't remember exactly the rules. Pulp Fiction teaches you the rules of marijuana in Amsterdam. Like, it's not illegal to possess it.
Right.
But you can't light it up in public.
That's why right? I don't ever remember what those rules were, because shortly after that, Vinny Testaverde shot the dude in the face. He shot the voice of Samurai Jack in the face. So right. I can't take that seriously. I can never remember what the rules were or what a Big Mac is called in France.
It's a Royale with cheese.
There you go. No, so you were paying better.
Le Big Mac is what the Big Mac is called.
Yeah. And then shot Hermes / Samurai Jack right in the face. Mad TV's, I can't remember his name now. Whatever his name is. Lamar. No. Phil Lamar. Right?
Lamar. Is he the one sleeping on the couch? I was thinking the main guy who's eating the tasty burger.
Who's the guy at the door? Someone's at the door. And Samuel
and Vincent.
Jules keeps turning around and making him not move. And then they put him in the car and that's apologizing
right.
in the car.
Right. Okay. All right.
That's the guy. He is Samurai Jack.
Hermes Conrad.
Yeah. Hermes Conrad. Right in the back of the, right in the face. Shot me in the face. So who cares? Miley, whatever. Go away. All right. TweakedAudio.com. Sponsoring the show. Get your fantastic new earbuds. I wore a pair on the plane, and that was great because I shut everyone else out and listened to Bear McCreadie's BSG soundtrack again.
Mm-hmm. Nice. You're loving that.
I love it. I can't stop playing it. I don't know what my deal is. I mean, I'm back in watching the show, which helps, but I also think it stands on its own. It's just really quality stuff. That guy's amazing. Yeah. And he's doing great work on The Walking Dead right now and Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's doing all that stuff. He's awesome, and he's young as hell. He started doing that BSG stuff in his like early 20s.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a young dude. So, anyway, big fan. And they sounded great on my Tweaked Audios. They will on yours as well. Pick them up now. They'll be compatible with whatever you've got. They'll reduce the noise. They'll be durable. They'll give you a lifetime warranty. That means they'll stand behind everything they sell. And you can use STREAM at checkout for 33% off. You know the drill. That's 33% off with the code STREAM. Let's take a break. When we come back, Eric's app review, major spoilers around 20 after the hour. And some emails today, so should be fun. Brian, you got a song for us?
Sounds peachy. Wait? Yes. First off, it's Jimmy Zander's birthday. He didn't have a request, and he even didn't have anything in the spreadsheet. But I just noticed it's Jimmy Zander's birthday, so happy birthday, Jimmy Zander. He's doing some work for my website, so I'm kissing his butt a little bit. All right. Jason Robbins, a.k.a. J Funktastic in the Tadpole, says, "Hi, Brian and Scott. I've been a Frog Pants listener for over 5 years now, and I've always enjoyed your shows. If it wasn't for the laughter you bring me on TMS, I think I might have lost my mind this past month. To start the month off, my paternal grandmother fell, broke her hip, and needed emergency surgery. 1 week later, my maternal grandmother was hospitalized with a severe breathing problem. She's also been suffering with Alzheimer's for 5 years now. She was hooked up to a breathing machine for a week when the decision was made to pull the plug, as the doctors told us there was nothing that they could do for her. We were told that she would only last for a few hours After unplugging, 8 excruciating days later, she finally passed. We laid her to rest on Monday the 21st. Wednesday the 23rd, my father was rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery for a ruptured colon due to an undiagnosed condition called diverticulitis.
My dad totally had that. That was an awful thing.
Oh, it sounds horrible. Yeah. He luckily will make a full recovery along with my paternal grandmother, who is up and about now and in rehabilitation. The last little kick in the ass came a few days ago. My wife's car needs to have a completely new engine that will cost far more than the car is worth. I'm so sorry this email was so long. I just wanted to ask if you could play a song that will let me know that everything is going to be okay and good things are just around the corner. Brian, I leave it in your very capable hands. Congrats on the 1,000th episode of Coverville. And thank you guys so much for everything you do. Please never stop. I will see you guys at Nerdtacular 2015. Jason Robbins, a.k.a. Jay Funktastic, the Broken Nerdcast.
Damn, dude.
Oh, man.
Damn.
So I was looking for something upbeat. I just basically put the cover playlist on shuffle and kept hitting next until I found something upbeat. And this one totally worked. This one, Before Tank Girl should love this one. This one actually comes from the Tank Girl soundtrack. It is Paul Westerberg and Joan Jett doing a cover of Cole Porter's Let's Do It. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds fun to me. Let's do it. Let's play it. Let's play it. When we come back, all that stuff I said and more, please stay tuned.
When the little blue bird, who has never said a word, starts to sing. Let's fall in love. Hope they've got plans, kids, they'll wish to it. Even lazy jellyfish do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. I've heard that lizards and frogs do it, lying on a rock. They say that roosters do it, with a diddle and cock. Some Argentines without beans do it. I read them off some beans. Let's do it, let's fall in love.
You know, you should have worn a life jacket. Accidents can happen, and a life jacket's good protection.
Like seatbelts in a car or a motorcycle helmet.
Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
The Transformers.
Hey, I've got a big sweaty bum.
The Morning Stream. Better than a straw tart blueberry Pop-Tart. Pop-torch. It's going to take me a couple to get that one. Hang on. Better than a straw tart. This is recording, right? Let me check. Better than a straw tart. Better than a straw tart blueberry Pop-torch.
All right, we're back. Thank you, Scott Fletcher, for your bloopers. Hey, real quick, this PS4 deal at Target?
Yeah.
You're the guy I rely on for things like this.
Yeah.
Honestly, because you usually have like four fingers in the cookie jar and stuff like this.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
I don't either. Sure. But Daisy, don't bite me. You're here, not me. Go, go.
I just heard this.
She just bit my foot because she's laying under my feet. All right. Anyway, dumb dog. What was I going to say? Oh.
PS4.
So the deal started today.
Yes. Wait. The games, yes.
Today, the 11th?
Yesterday,
I'm, you're right. So can I pick up PS4 games now? Are they not out yet?
So here's the thing, and I was wondering this too, because I looked at that same circular, and there are a few PS4 games that it says available now. Like, I think Assassin's Creed is available now, and The Knack. So right next to where it says The Knack, and or not The Knack, that's the music group.
Yeah,
The Knack
good.
Is the game.
Yeah,
Knack and Battlefield 4 and Killzone all say available Friday.
Okay.
Now, in the Best Buy catalog, all three of those are listed as available today.
Okay.
And I think those are the three I'm going to end up buying: Battlefield, Killzone, and Knack. I'm kind of thinking I'm going to pop over to Target today and
try to get what you can get.
And try and get what I can get. Although it looks like, according to Velvet Lip, Amazon is doing the same thing. PS4,
yeah, they
buy
are.
Two.
You're right.
Buy two, get one free.
I was going to tell you about this, and it looks like that one. So the nice thing about the Target one is any games for any machine.
Right, right.
So I could mix it up if I wanted to, or in the Amazon case, it's all PS4.
Right.
Now, the only downside of the Amazon one is who knows if they'll get here same day shipping. Like, I feel like the Target is the way to go on the 2-for-1 or the get one free, buy two, whatever. And I want to buy a similar makeup, although I'm still not 100% on Knack. I think I want to go Killzone, Battlefield 4. Oh, what's the other one?
FIFA.
Maybe FIFA, because Nick wants to. He loves.
Oh, really?
The
I was joking, actually.
Yeah, I actually really quite like the FIFA game. So I'm
Lego Marvel Superheroes.
No.
See, now I'm a big Marvel. Yeah, obviously, you know, I'm a big Marvel Superheroes game fanatic.
I hear that's really good, by the way.
I'm not a big fan of the Lego games. I don't know what it is about. I love Legos.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is about the Lego games. They just don't.
They're awfully repetitive. If you don't like those, then you probably aren't going to like it. But I hear it's one of the best ones of those that they've made.
I guess I could download. There's a free demo on the PS3. I could download that and try it out.
So I don't know what my third game is yet. Probably FIFA, because why not? I don't know.
Schnucko says you clearly hate fun. Thanks.
You fun
Need
hater.
For Speed Rivals.
Oh, yeah, that's. Oh, wait, didn't there was some. No, that is a release. Ooh, that might be the third one. Because they're good people talking about, or good.
You know you're going to be waiting for Wipeout, you know, Wipeout 2014 or whatever it's going to be.
Can't wait. There's some downloadables I want. There's some stuff today or Friday I want. But anyway, I'm going to go out there today. Well, let's report tomorrow on what we found.
Good.
That'd be
try
good.
Try it out.
All right.
Yes.
Time to make a phone call. We'll do Eric first because Zippy had a meeting. that sounds terrible. We're not calling Steven Zippy. That's not really my intent, although I did it anyway. But we're going to see. We'll get him in a second. So before that, listen to the theme, everybody. Just sit down for a second. Relax. Here it comes. Right up your a-holes. Oh, yeah.
That's slappy.
All right, everybody. Tuck in. It's time for Eric's app review, an extension of what was once called App Slappy. It is now called Eric's Monday.
Eric Slappy.
Hi, Eric. How you doing, man? Hello?
Eric.
He can hear us. We can't. Oh, still calling him. Hello, Eric. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. What's up, man?
Hey.
What are you calling us on? Where are you?
I'm at the train station, actually.
Oh, geez. Look at you. On the go.
Yes.
Well, that's all right.
By the way, I wanted to correct you. The Amazon, it's buy one, get one free.
No, it's buy two, get one free.
No, Amazon's buy one, get one free.
Shut up. Hold on.
I was just on that side. I thought it was buy...
Yeah, you're smoking crack.
Buy two, get one promo is what it says.
Yeah, it says right here. It's Amazon. Buy two, get one free on select PlayStation 4 games.
Last night, I just bought one and got one for free.
Oh,
get
that's
out
weird.
Of here.
Because it says, what's the promotion? This is a buy two, get one free promotion. Simply add three of the...
Last night, I got an email from Amazon that said, buy one, get one free. So I went on. You were on my text thing last night.
Captain Kipper is saying maybe if you pre-ordered one already.
I pre-ordered the PS4.
Right. So did I. But I didn't get a a promotion about the buy one, get one. I assume this is a separate promotion. You may still be able to get more games and then still get a free one with this, is my guess.
Yeah, so I got Ghost and Black Flag.
Ghost. Dude, you don't want the new Modern Warfare or the COD game. It's not good. The reviews are real bad. Do you really want that game?
You don't want it.
Well, Liam and Mark talked me into it. So.
But they don't know what they're saying. They wanted what they wanted was Battlefield 4. They just didn't know it. I'll give you an example. PS4 reviews. It's not horrible, but on Metacritic, 78 for Call of Duty. Battlefield 4, 87. So much higher.
Okay, so Hero Pro saying buy one, get one free was for PS4 pre-order. So if you did buy one, if you do have a PS1 pre-order, I'm sorry, PS4 pre-order, then you can do the buy one, get one deal. I wonder how you get Scott. That.
Scott? Did you pre-order yours?
I did. I did. Amazon? I didn't do a bundle, but I pre-ordered from Amazon. Yes.
So I got the Killzone bundle.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I didn't do a bundle, so maybe only bundle buyers get it. I don't know.
I know Nicole got it.
Oh, I want to play Rezogun. I can't wait for that.
That's going to be a digital.
Yeah, that's a downloadable piece of something. You know, there are a lot of downloadable stuff on here that we haven't been thinking about or talking about, and I'm excited about a lot of it. So, Warframes on there. I love that on the PC. I'll bet this version's nice. A bunch of stuff.
It's interesting that how BlizzCon, the Diablo 3's expansions on the PS4 already.
Yeah, that's the one thing I didn't get my hands on. I know Nicole played it a ton, and she thought it was awesome. They are getting that for PS4, she said, when it comes out. They liked it that much. I've got too much invested in my PC characters.
Well, I saw the developer said it was just so easy to develop for since it's so close to the PC architecture.
Yeah, they were loving that. And not necessarily loving the PS3 architecture still. What was that? You all right?
Train's here.
Train's coming.
Ewan McGregor just dive in front of it?
Coming around the bend. Jeez. I ain't seen so many.
It's going to get loud for 1 second.
That's all right. We'll enjoy it for what it is. Oh, listen to this.
Wow.
Big City Travels of Eric Van Skyhawk, everyone. All right, Eric, you got an app to review, damn it. Have you been playing the Tiny Death Star? You got that business going on?
That's what I'm reviewing today.
Perfect. So have we. So we'll have plenty to say. Go for it. What do you think?
Yeah. It's pretty much Tiny Tower.
Yeah.
It's a reskin Tower. There you go.
Thanks for playing, everybody. It is, but there's some stuff thrown in, right? Like you've got those weird cut scenes. You got the weird like missions that the Imperial forces are doing like down in the basement all the time.
Those
elements are really interesting.
Well, the Tiny Tower at the end of its cycle threw in a lot of mission stuff. I remember goals and quests and stuff like that.
No, I must have gotten out before all that hit. Cause,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Did they have little cut scenes where Jar Jar Binks gets squished?
No. I enjoy the little cut scenes. I think it's really. That's my favorite part of the game.
Isn't it happy, man? Isn't it? Oh, who's that? Who you talking to? Who's that?
That's the train conductor. He's got my ticket.
Okay. He seems to be having a pretty good time.
He's talking to another train conductor.
All right. Hey, man. What's going on? That Tiny Tower is pretty good. Okay. So, does it feel too repetitive and you don't think it's enough to set it apart? Because I'm actually finding a lot of new life in it. Maybe it's because I have enough space between me and the old one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is it's been such a long time since I've played Tiny Tower. It's like, you know, how you play first-person shooters for a while and then you stay away from them for a long period of time and then you go back to them.
Yeah. Are there people on this public transportation? Are there New Yorkers looking at you funny while you talk about Tiny Death Star?
My train car's pretty empty.
Is it? Okay. I always like the social awkwardness of what we do when it's in public like this, so I was just curious. You're not getting like sideways glances from like homeless guys or anything like that.
Don't you remember Patrick's little thing he used to do for apps?
Yeah, his...
He used to always do it on the bus.
Hello, this is Patrick, and America is stupid.
What was
America is the worst, and I'm wearing a stupid scarf. I don't remember. Eric, you there? We think we're there longer. I think he's on a bad train.
I think so too.
Damn it.
No.
All right. 5 out of 5 train Miles. Conductors. Oh, are you back? Hello? Are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah,
there
he is. Yeah. I went to LTE. I went from to LTE to 4G now.
Oh, you're on 4G now?
Yeah.
All right. You still sound all right. You're a little. You sound a little distant, like you're far, but you sound fine.
So anyway.
We'll make it work. All right. So what do you, other thoughts do you think?
I like it. I wish you could see more of a progression. Like, you know how you can zoom out on your tower, yeah. Tiny tower?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wish you could do that on Tiny Death Star.
Oh, I didn't know you couldn't.
Where can you see that?
Well, now that you mentioned it, I never tried. Brian, are you aware of a way to do that?
I don't know. How did you do that on the old Tiny Tower? Because this one, the original Tiny Tower, I did on the iPad. This one, I decided, no, I'm going to put this on the phone. I'm going to do it completely on the phone.
Hmm. Yeah, because I want that portability thing just always in my pocket, and I did the same. But exactly. But my guess is the reason they don't is in Tiny Tower, you were literally zooming out on a building that was straight up and was shaped like your orientation. With this thing, it'd be a big ball in space, right?
Yeah, but I noticed that, you know, when they give you the missions, the Emperor gives you the missions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little blueprint of the Death Star behind the missions. You can see it for a second when you click on it.
Oh, yeah. Before the mission comes up, you can see, and it's getting more, it's filling up, huh?
That it's growing, yeah. Like, as my levels progress, it's slowly filling up in sections.
Oh, that's cool.
But the thing is, you only can see it for a second.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, it's too bad that they don't give you more. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll patch that. But what I'm one of my favorite things about it, and I don't know if this is how you feel or not, but I like the willingness that they have to play with the license and be goofy with it. Like, they're not afraid to make fun of what fans already know is stupid, like Jar Jar being so stupid. So what do? You make fun of it. You actually play to the snark of the fan base. And I feel like, you know, now that Disney owns the rights to this franchise, they can do whatever they want with it. They're more willing than George ever was to be self-referential and understand what a giant, you know, pop culture phenomenon this thing is. So why not have a little fun with it? You don't have to be so stodgy and protective. You can actually, you know, because at some point you have to accept the fact. I don't think George Lucas was ever able to do this. Maybe he just doesn't have the perspective to, but you have to accept the fact that Star Wars is not just simply a thing people are into. It isn't just Mickey Mouse. It isn't just Big Bang Theory. You know, it's not just a thing, a cultural touchstone for the moment. It's a big, giant, multi-decade-spanning cultural phenomenon to the point that it is ingrained in everyone who lives. And because of that...
It's also shaped a lot of people, what they wanted to do in their careers.
Right. So just have fun with it. Have a good time with it. And don't be afraid to try new things, or don't be so protective, because you're basically Jesus territory right now, you know?
I think at the end he kind of was like that when he was on Robot Chicken Star Wars specials and stuff like that.
Yeah. Except how much did he have to do with any of that? I think that was all just parody, right?
No, he was actually they did a skit with him when a fan met him in an elevator on Robot Chicken.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was really him.
Oh, wow, that's weird. Well, there you go.
So he, you know, I think, you know, he kind of at the end there loosened up a little bit.
Well, how many?
I told you my story when I was at Skywalker Ranch, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, the one where he came out and gave you a Snuggie and then ran away screaming?
No, our little tour guide girl said, if you see George Lucas, don't make eye contact.
Yeah, what the hell, dude? Why?
Do not look directly at him.
To me, that is just, I don't understand that.
It's like Howard Hughes kind of.
Yeah,
you know, I was afraid it was going to happen at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark or something. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just close your eyes, Marion. Don't open your eyes. Brilliant. Well.
Nice to meet you, Eric Van Skyhawk. I think I'm going to redo your goatee.
Mr. Van Skyhawk, I noticed you looked in my eyes. Now you're going to die.
Eric, how many?
You'll find this interesting.
What?
We're in his library.
Yeah.
And he had a Book of Mormon in his library.
Are you kidding? Really? Wow.
No.
I mean, that library's huge. He's probably got every book of every kind in there.
Yeah, I imagine actually he's probably, as he was coming up with ways to ruin the Force with midichlorians, he was looking at several religions to kind of base things on.
Well, these Christian scientists are weird with medical help. How can we put that in there? How about Luke gets his arm cut off and they have to cutterize it with a robot? Perfect. That's great. Eric, how many jovial train conductors would you give Tiny Tower Death Star Edition?
I'll give it 4.
4 out of 5? That's not bad.
Yeah.
With the 1 star taken off because it's so damn addictive?
No, it's because it's like...
Because there's no way to zoom out.
No, yeah, well, it's like rehashing an old thing with a new skin, but adding a new few things. It's pretty much Tiny Tower, but down to the essence of the game.
Yeah.
Now, do either of you guys have there's no way also to see how your friends are doing, is there?
No,
like,
it's not compare built
your... No, there's no comparison.
No EPing. Do either of you guys have the workout center?
Not yet, no.
I do, yes. That poor guy on the treadmill, man.
It's like Kit Fisto. 24/7. Kit Fisto running on a treadmill constantly, and it's...
So here's the other thing I was going to ask about it. There's no sync, right? I can't have the iPad and phone version synced.
I didn't see any iCloud sync options.
That's also annoying. I don't like that at all.
It's weird.
Well, maybe they'll add that. You know, it's...
Tiny Tower never did, which irritated me to no end.
Tiny Tower didn't what?
Didn't have syncing, because every time I tried
had iCloud syncing for sure.
They did. It must have been later, because in the early days they had something like it, but then it would only start like 10 levels back on my iPad, and then it would confuse the phone version, and then update, and then that would be reverted back to the old one, and it was pretty bad in those days. So I don't know if that's all gotten better or whatever, but seems like something that seems in today's...
But it's weird, because like, yeah, I was looking for it, because like at first when it came out I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. So I was looking under Nimblebit as the company, you know, but it's put out by LucasArts,
right? Yeah, well, it's still Nimblebit. You know.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying it was interesting that they...
That it's not, they're not, right, that they're not prominently shown as the...
Yeah. Huh. Well, I like it. I think it's great. And hopefully, we'll see. And like Brian, you said over the weekend while we were at BlizzCon, you're like, yeah, we'll see how long I can make this compelling. And so far, pretty compelling. I think the phone version is the way to play. And the Android people got it same day, so we're covering you two here.
How interesting was that the announcement about... Hearthstone on the iPhone.
Yeah, iPhone and Android.
No, but just the crowd's reaction.
Imagine though how to play that on an iPhone on that little screen.
They're gonna have to. There's no way it's that same interface. They have to do something. Yeah. That's why, and I maintain this. I swear this is a huge delay for portable versions of Hearthstone, because it means they've got to do custom work to make it polished on a phone experience. They're not just gonna half-ass that. So yeah, if sure. people thought
the
they
iPad,
were going to get that
I'd say
same...
the iPad version's close.
It's close, but it was janky upstairs. That thing ran bad.
Huh. And, you tried it.
Yeah, it was slow, choppy, lots of weird transitions. They're not making the best use of like dragging and you know things that you would do on a phone or a tablet as opposed to a desktop with a mouse. I think some of that stuff's got to get worked through. My impression was they're not as nearly as close as we think they are. So
probably end of next year. Probably
that's what I think. This. Yep, I'll bet it's spring if I had to bet or guess on iPad and later for phone and for Android.
I wanted on iPad before Christmas.
I did too.
There's no way you're not going to even get the PC game before Christmas.
Yeah, well, you'll have the beta, but you won't even have they'll still be in public beta this Christmas. So
yeah.
Or maybe they did originally say we're going to have this game out by Christmas or by the end of the year, but maybe they can say that public beta
Blizzard,
is the same.
That's Blizzard speak.
Yeah, which could be anything. Anyway.
I wonder if when it comes to the iPad, when it finally gets released, it's only going to run on the latest and greatest hardware.
Could be. Who knows? I doubt it, though. It ran fine up there on these, and they weren't even new ones. They were like whatever the 4th-gen one is.
But you said it was choppy and janky.
It was. That's why I'm saying that. I'm not saying it has anything to do with the hardware. I'm saying it has everything to do with non-optimized, not finished version of the game. I think that's.
Gotcha.
I think they have a very slapped together, prototypey alpha version running on there, and that's it. Mm-hmm. They just haven't optimized it. I've seen games with plenty doing way more stuff on screen on an iPad 2 than that was doing, and it was chugging. I think that's just software. So. They'll get around to it. They're not releasing it like that. This just means we're going to have to wait. That's all.
Right.
So be prepared to wait a little while longer, everyone. Eric, I hope your trip is safe. May you not run over any hobos on your way. And other stereotypes.
Thank you. Also, I got confirmation of what Patrick's... Hello? Can you hear me?
We're here.
Yeah, we can hear
you.
Yeah.
Hello? We're here. Can you hear us?
Iceworm said that... Patrick's segment was What the French.
Oh, What the French, yeah.
I'm glad that you artificially robot slowed that down for us so we could understand it. Yes, it was called What the French? And he would record it while he rode on the buses in France.
Did I wrote?
Yeah, you roboted.
And, oh, where'd he go?
That's it.
That's it. Bye, Eric. Safe travels on your way to wherever you're going.
What the French?
It's time for Steven to come on in here and do his thing.
Hello.
But there he is. Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com. Welcome back.
Woo. Thank you. Did you
see anything in the BlizzCon coverage that got you excited as a Blizzard?
I kind of like, I'm interested in the movies, obviously. Mm. I think the new designs that they're doing on all the characters look pretty cool. You know, making them more 3D and bouncy and all that stuff.
They were great. Neat. I played the orc and it's a big difference. Really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that and I was like, oh, that looks really cool. Of course, I haven't played in over a year. So,
yeah. I mean, what they've done, I'll say this. We didn't get to talk about it on the instance very much, so it's a good point to bring up. We did a little bit, but this is a nearing a 10-year-old game, and what they showed both environmentally and character design and mob design and all of that and these upgrades and changes basically looks like as good as like new MMOs that are coming that are aiming to be in a more stylized style, kind of like what's that one, the really cartoony one that just left my brain that my buddy Chris is working on. Oh, crap. Whatever it is, the space one, Brian, help me here. Wildstar.
I don't know. Oh, I kept hearing people talking about that weekend. I don't know what that is.
Wildstar is basically it's another, you know, it's another MMO. It's
another MOBA.
Very similar. Well, MMO, not MOBA.
Oh. Gotcha.
But it's very WoW-like in that they've gone for stylized graphical treatment to, you know, that sort of extends the years of that your game can get and all of that. But with these fixes and the environmental stuff they're doing in these new zones and a 10-year legacy of content, I don't know how anyone competes with this. It just looked like a brand new game. I was blown away when I sat down and pulled out this orc and started rolling around with him. I'm going, I know this is the same game, and I'm not, and he's not so different that you feel like you've been, you know, the whole world's changed under your feet. It's just so improved without changing the whole engine. I don't know how they're doing it. It's crazy. I always wondered how Blizzard would bridge that gap, and they're doing it in their own way, and it's a interesting way to do it. But anyway. Someday
my level 40 character will reach 100.
Right on, brother.
The movie concept stuff that they showed, the environments just look fantastic. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
I know they've already started shooting some of the stuff up in Vancouver. I thought one of the really cool bits was when the Bill Wettenhofer, who's the special effects director, was just like, look, we're not going to do CGI orcs. They're going to be humans in makeup.
Yeah.
I thought that was very cool.
They want to go for major authenticity. And part of that makes me nervous because I know how cool orcs can look when they're really well done CGI-wise the way Blizzard does them. Mm-hmm. But I also like the authenticity they're aiming for here. So
worst case scenario, it turns into a Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Dude,
best case scenario, it turns into something awesome like the Thor movie where they're fighting the monsters there or some of the other stuff. So.
Sure. Thor 2, I heard, was good.
It was really good. I watched it on Saturday, and I even went and saw it in 3D, and I saw the first Thor in 3D, and I kind of like what they did there.
Yeah.
This one, they didn't throw the 3D in your face at all. I thought the story was much better than the first one. I just enjoyed this Thor 2, The Dark World, so much better than the first one.
That's interesting. It's all in Asgard, right?
Pretty much, yeah. There's a little bits that take place on Earth and then over on wherever the Dark Elves are from.
Strahdheim
or something like that.
Dark Moon. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Brian, did you saw it?
I've not seen it yet. No, I'm waiting to see it. No, I've got to wait for – I had to wait for Tina and Tristan and my Uncle George because
– Oh, that's right. I have so many Brian friends, and like three of them have seen it, and you're the one that didn't.
Yeah,
so.
I'm the one that didn't. So I'm waiting to see it probably Saturday.
Nice. It might be tonight for me and the kids, so we're trying to figure it out.
Some people have said they don't like it because it's very fantasy driven.
Yeah,
you know,
but that's Thor, dude.
But that's the whole point. But the elves, the dark elves, look really cool. Thor looks good.
How's the Hannibal Lecter holding up? Is he doing all right?
Oh yeah, he does really good. He looks really, really good in that. He actually looks younger than he did in the first movie. So I don't know if they're doing some of that digital wizardry or not. Loki is great.
Yeah.
There are two little ender scenes, one of them that ties directly into Guardians of the Galaxy and another one's just kind of little throwaway funny bits. You do want to stay through the credits.
Well, it's currently 66% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's not incredible, but it's not bad.
What was the first Thor movie?
Unlike Last Vegas at 43. let's see. The first Thor movie. Let's see. That would be an interesting comparison. Thor. Come on now. There we go. 2011. That was 2011? Jeez.
Yeah.
77. So first Thor did a little better, but, you know, whatever.
I think the biggest thing about if people are going to go see Thor 2 is there is a lot of information that does tie into all of the other Marvel movies. Mm. So that could throw some people where they're sitting there going, well, what does that mean? And what's that guy doing? And
but guys, you know, like us, we appreciate this.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's really kind of, it's really kind of
cross community. Yeah.
And if people are wanting more Marvel stuff, you're going to want to check out Netflix in 2015.
Yeah.
Disney and Netflix have announced a partnership where they're bringing Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage all into live action series only on Netflix.
I am so excited about this.
Yeah. It seems like such a huge undertaking.
Yeah, it does.
I think what's cool about this, and we've seen what Netflix has done with House of Cards and some of the others that they've done. You can get as dirty and gritty as you want, and you don't have to worry about ratings. So a few years ago when they were talking about rebooting the Daredevil series, the person who wanted to direct it had a sizzle reel that was very 70s gritty, street-level crime kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I would love to see that happen with these four characters.
Oh, man. Hmm.
Do a whole Heroes for Hire thing. It'd be great.
I love what they're doing with these things. They're not just sitting on these franchises and being nervous with them. They're they're taking them into new places and into new areas and like figuring out, you know, how to take advantage of an emerging audience, but also serving the fan base, which is kind of moving toward digital stuff. And it's strategic as hell, really smart, and Netflix benefits. It's just I can't wait.
Netflix has committed to a minimum of 4 13-episode series and a culminating Marvel's The Defenders miniseries, so people can even get a Defenders series later on.
Gosh, dang it. Dude, go back. Can we fly in? You had a time machine. Let's go back and tell my 14-year-old self that this is all going to happen one day.
I would say, Steven, there's something wrong with your kids, Steven.
Yeah, it's like, hey, they'll be
assholes or something.
All these heroes are getting their own movies. Iron Man's an A-list character. By then, I would have ran and said, Mom, a stranger, that man's trying to touch me or something. But you know what I mean? Like, these things I can't believe we live in a time where we're getting all this crap.
Oh, it's great. It's wonderful. Somebody is already, you know, people are already talking about is are we glutting the market with all of this stuff?
Yeah.
And I don't think that we are. I mean, ABC is really and Disney are really taking the smart approach of saying, let's not all dump this on our cable networks because we're going to have a fractured audience. But with Netflix now making more money than Hulu and Amazon Prime combined with their streaming services.
Yep.
Here's a place that has an audience, and more than likely you're going to capture your audience a lot better on Netflix as an on-demand than you would on a, you know, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock time slot.
Yeah, completely agree with that. I'm stoked.
It's going to be great.
I see that, speaking of which, Star Wars Episode 5 has a date. Also, they are looking for young actors. How do we even know that, and what does that mean? Does that give us any hints?
Well, I don't know if it gives us any hints unless you're looking along the lines of a Luke and Han children kind of thing, or Luke Skywalker child.
Wait, Luke and Han are going to have children?
I mean, not Luke. I mean, Leia and Han children. Hey, stranger things have happened. It is a galaxy far, far away.
they're going to be – one of them is going to be called Let's Blow This Thing, and the other one's name is And Go Home.
Oh, man.
That's fantastic. Actually, I didn't quite mean it that way, but yes.
So many levels.
Yeah.
You didn't intend.
No.
I think the thing that surprises most people about the announcement of the new Star Wars movie is the release date is in December of 2015 as opposed to a May release like a lot of the other films have been done. And so some people are kind of upset about that.
I don't think it's going to matter
forever.
One
it's
bit.
Always been me. You know, to me, December 18th is a much better target date than May 4th or, you know, May the 4th be with you kind of release.
Right.
Because you're in the holidays and there's more people off and you're not competing with the already overcrowded Marvel movie release, Warner Brothers movie releases, all the other big action blockbuster pictures that are coming out in 2015. I think the only thing that you're looking at in 2015 is The Hobbit Part 3.
Yep.
And that's it so far.
You know what it is? It's Star Wars. So they're doing them a favor. Those other guys that want to blockbuster the hell out of the May through July months, August, whatever, if they want to have that period, they're saying, go ahead, guys, have your time because you don't want to be anywhere near this shit when we launch. So it doesn't matter. Launch it on Thanksgiving at 2:30 in the afternoon. It's still going to be the biggest freaking gangbusters thing that year. So I don't see this as bad, good, or anything. It is just simply it's like a giant meteor. Well, it'd be more convenient if this meteor landed on New Zealand on Thursday. Nobody cares. It's going to land where it wants to land, and devastation will follow. So that's the way it goes.
I think the only thing that it throws a wrench in is toy product releases, because they're not going to release toys that are going to spoil the movie.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that that's going to be the biggest, toughest part is if you released it in May, yeah, you can start selling all your Star Wars related toys and, you know, the end of May, and you can carry that all the way through Christmas. This one, it might kind of mess up the toy buying frenzy.
Right. So it'll be interesting. The Warcraft movie rumored for the same week, which is probably just means they're going to have to move theirs.
Star Wars, Disney's going to have to move Star Wars.
No, I think Star Wars is going to stay. I think Warcraft's going to have to go. All right, sorry, this we'll seat's taken. Oh, sorry, yeah. I'll move up the bus a little bit. It's not going to work for them. I guarantee they're going to. I think they shat a brick when they heard the official Star Wars date.
Because Warcraft had been announced about a month ago, right? As far as the release date. So this is going to cause a lot of people to shift schedules, and it won't surprise me to see things bump back.
Guaranteed. There's no way they run that the same week.
I'm going to have to look and see what other movies are coming out Thanksgiving of 2015, what's already been booked, because that might be a better slot for the Warcraft.
I mean, Chris Metzen would go to the Star Wars one before he'd go to the WoW one that weekend. You know what I mean? Like, you have to shift that around. There's no way around it. Mm-hmm. By the way, anyone who watches Metzen on stage, just a reminder, when you meet him in person and talk and hang out, could he not be the more quiet? You were there, Brian, at dinner.
I was there at
dinner,
He's
so quiet-natured and so nice. Just such a nice guy.
I mean, he turns it on, but that's, you know, his voice, there's still the all right, yes, we're going to go over here and maybe get a cup of coffee. You know, it's...
Before we leave, I need to pee.
The voices may be amplified and maybe exaggerated a little bit when he's up on stage, but that's his voice. And the dude exudes cool. I mean, he's the cool fish in a nerdy pond, really.
Totally.
I guess the one thing that I didn't see in any of the Warcraft news was, are they hitting a specific rating? Are they looking for PG-13? Or are they going to say, you know what, this is people slicing each other in half and downing demons, we're going to go for a soft R.
I think they go PG-13, but I think it will be Lord of the Rings level PG-13. Yeah. Orcs' heads are going to fly. You know, there will be blood, but not in the bowling alley
drink
your milk, your blue milkshake.
Speaking of violence, there is an interesting report up on Variety today. If people want to go check this out. And I haven't read all the way through it, but it's basically saying gun violence in PG-13 movies is higher than R-rated films.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. I've seen some. What was the one? The zombie one with Brad Pitt, World War Z.
World War Z, yeah.
That movie was – I went in going, well, here we go with our soft treatment of zombies because it's PG-13. And I walked away going, how'd they get away with some of that stuff?
Yeah.
Like that was there. Well, that was our material a year ago or something.
And here's the argument that was made for John Carter of Mars. Was that because you're killing aliens and their fantasy, you can show John Carter eviscerating a white ape and have him covered in blue blood because it's not real blood.
Right.
I think the same argument can be made with zombies is that they're undead and thus fantasy driven, and you could probably convince a ratings board of that a little bit easier than, you know, just chopping off a living, breathing person's head and have it roll down the aisle.
Well, Tartakovsky used to say this about Samurai Jack. He used to say, you know, when he is causing serious violent harm to things that, because they're robots and have wires in them, you just can totally get away with in a kid's cartoon.
Right.
But if those were represented as living tissue people or even aliens, they could have never done it. So they would always substitute these like future robots for these things he would slice in half and rip their heads off and tear their arms off. And it's funny how that one little distinction, like in Germany in the early aughts, you couldn't play Unreal Tournament in Germany, so they wouldn't allow it. So they made a version of the game that just essentially was like laser tag, and everyone bled green or something, and they got away with it that way. And it's still true. Like in China, there's certain cultural things, right? In China, you can't show the undead in World of Warcraft. I don't know if anyone's ever seen this, but the undead race in China doesn't have any of the bones sticking out or the flesh stopping short of an elbow or any of that. They look like covered up regular old human guys that look just a little gaunt. And when you die in that game, the corpses and the bones don't stay. Like, Brian, if we all wipe in a raid and the bones start piling up,
they'll clear out.
They get gravestones. They get actual gravestones, yeah. So cool, in areas where you're doing like world bosses, and be like 1,000 gravestones just covering the countryside. That's crazy over there. But anyway, that's what my point is. Everybody's got their limits and their, you know, what they'll allow or what they won't, culturally speaking. But I swear PG-13 has been pushing harder and harder point that they're either going to have to, I don't think they should do anything, but if they decide to scale something back or add a new middle tier, I could see that, you know, this one's PG-16 or PG-15 that would suck, but you know.
The Tadpool is all confirmed that they said PG-13 in the Q&A. So
did they say it? I missed that part.
Yes.
I was so kind of bored.
About
it wasn't
43
great.
People in the Tadpool all said PG-13. PG-13. They said it's going to be PG-13. They said PG-13.
There's no way they wouldn't do it PG-13. So
would you rather? Are you excited about this being live action, or do you kind of want to see it 3D CGI done in the way they do all their
cinematics?
Yeah, the cinematics.
Yeah. I would have said I have always said if Blizzard would make a full cinematic 2-hour feature film, I would be beyond thrilled.
Yeah.
So that would actually be my preference, done in their style. That's how I want. I would like it that way, but I do not think that a mainstream success makes. I think if you want this thing to be mainstream and huge, you got to hire good-looking actors people know. You know, they got to do the thing they got to do.
That's going to be the next thing is the list of the big names that are going to be attached to this.
Yeah, but I'd love CGI, dude. I mean, I don't know about you guys, when I saw that Heroes of the Storm intro,
That looked really good.
I just about shat myself.
Yeah,
it's incredible. I love the word shat. Can I say that more?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
I seem to be using it quite a bit. How about this? Two more things here. Wonder Woman and Nightwing are going to be in Batman versus Superman. Well, is this rumored at this point?
It's still kind of rumored. I mean, there is a casting call. This was last week for a tall, dark-haired, very athletic actress to play a character called Diana, which is Wonder Woman.
That could be anybody.
That could be anybody. And then a similar statement went out regarding a possible sidekick for Batman. So everybody's speculating Nightwing on that.
They're so subtle. They're so ooh, secretive.
Yeah. A potential sidekick for Batman.
Yes. Hmm. We're looking for a character or an actress who can play Shmiana Schmitz.
Yeah. We're not saying who.
I love it. This is not subtle at all. That's great.
This is kind of cool because maybe what we're gearing up for is not just Batman versus Superman. Maybe we are gearing up for a trilogy of Justice League's movies where we start to build the team in
the
movie
roster.
One.
Yeah.
Number two, you have a big bad like Darkseid attacking. Yeah. And then in movie three, you take it to the home world and you beat the crap out of Darkseid on Apocalypse. So
my money is on that. That would be fine by me.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Avengers worked so well because they introduced all these individual little properties and then all grouped them together. Do you think it works better when they do it that way or if they do it like the snowball, kind of like what you're talking about here, where it kind of snowballs? Movie one has these two with maybe a couple others. Then the next movie has those four, you know, two primaries and two secondaries, and you add on a couple more, like you're having it. Because, you know, the experience with the Spider-Man movies, the first the Sam Raimi trilogy, is that all right? You add Green Goblin, and then okay, now you're adding, you know, you're adding somebody in each one that kind of carries over into the next one. I guess they didn't really add anybody in two that carried into three, but
no. Well, if they're gonna do that with the Warner Brothers, you know, DC franchise, they're really gonna have to up the bad guy status because you're not gonna have Lex Luthor, although Lex Luthor has been confirmed in the next movie. You're not going to have Lex and the Joker and the Riddler and Cheetah teaming up.
All together, right?
Yeah, just teaming up. That's not going to happen. So it's got to be a cosmic level event to bring everyone together. And if people have seen the first arc in the Justice League comic redone by Jim Lee and Geoff Johns, I think that's the direction that they're going to go.
I think that they saw Avengers and went, yep. Universe villain man is going to be our way to go. We can do it because they got away with it. I feel like that was a test bed, and they went, let's see how these guys do. Where they're kind of relatively grounded stories outside of Thor, but for the most part, all of these characters have had these grounded stories, real earth villain, you know, like Batman always does. Batman's always about gritty, freaking in town Joker business.
Right.
But then they had, I think they were kind of watching, well, let's see what Marvel does with an interstellar threat. And see if that plays for an audience or not, or if that feels too fantasy-ish or whatever. And it worked. So now I think they're thinking that. I think they're going, okay, I think we can do this. We'll get Affleck in a bat suit. We'll get a yet unnamed sidekick to help him out, and we'll take it to the stars. And I think they feel confident they can do that now. Darkseid is not a crazy idea anymore.
No. You know? Speaking of Batman, Kevin Smith said that he saw the new Batman costume and saw Ben Affleck in the Batman costume and totally flipped out over it.
Did he say his left testicle is sticking out or anything like that? Okay.
Flipped out over it.
Didn't say testicles.
So wait a minute.
I didn't know they were that far along.
He said he was backstage with Zack Snyder, and Snyder showed him on his iPhone a picture of the costume and then Ben Affleck in the costume.
Wow. Okay. I kind of want to see it, you know?
You want to see something that's really crazy?
What's that?
Go over to MajorSpoilers.com. We've got the Major Spoilers 2013 costume contest finalists up. We're voting is open. Kang the Conqueror looks just like Brian.
It's amazing. Looks just like me. I love that costume. I've been looking at that. It is incredible. I could never figure out if Kang's face was just lit blue, like there were lights inside the helmet
painted, and that's the flash going off.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying in the actual comics.
Oh, in the comics. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Look at these guys.
But the way this guy did it, it just looks incredible. That's absolutely getting my vote. Yeah. The Brainiac's great.
Yeah.
And the Ultron is incredible,
epic, man.
Yeah, there are some great costumes.
Mm-hmm. I think the Kang the Conqueror is winning it for me.
Yeah, because you know who picks Kang the Conqueror as who they're going to do?
Yeah, I like the obscurity. The relative obscurity of that is pretty good.
Yeah.
Man, you're just every year, dude. You're getting better and better stuff.
I know, man. The top 10 finalists were, the semifinalists were awesome.
Man, these guys are into it.
People can go check that out. Vote until, I think it is until the end of this week.
Brainiac.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm jealous of how well this is going. Yes, please do all that. It's majorspoilers.com. The very first post right now is this.
Yep.
So you can go see those finalists and cast your votes. Mm-hmm. Steven, it's always fun, always a good time. Anything else happening in your world that we should tell
not
people
today.
About?
Just it's always busy, 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 busy. So costume contest, podcast awards, critical hit, all that fun stuff at majorspoilers.com.
Sounds good, man. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, man. Bye.
See you.
Bye, Brian.
Bye.
All right. There you go. That was a great little visit.
That was. Some great great knowledge bombs dropped.
I feel
great geek bombs.
I have felt very inspired to get back on the saddle today with everyone invigorated me so much in Anaheim about what specifically this show, like what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. The Instance is a machine. It will continue to be what it is and always will be and is great, and don't get me wrong. But when you meet all these TMS fans and you realize that the organic nature of this show and what we bring to it with these guests and what we get to say about everyday things, I was just constantly reminded about it.
Recharged your batteries.
Yeah. People walking up going, oh, I just got out of rehab, or oh, I just did this thing and the show is the only thing that helped me through it. And you hear all about these things, you're like, dude, I'm going to go home. We're going to crank out some badass shows this week.
We're going to keep making it better and better so that when life throws you crap, we're always going to be here for
you. Yeah. Just hope it doesn't throw us any crap.
Yes.
I've got to get another eye operation. Damn it. It's going to have to happen.
It'll be fine.
I know. My only complaint about BlizzCon is everything was blurry as hell to me.
I just wish I would have had some more time with Nicole, some one-on-one time to talk about. She's got great ideas for the business. She spent a great amount of time with Chinbeard working on kind of like, all right, well, what are you doing right now to promote? What are you doing and how are you focusing? And I think I need to just schedule some time to do that very same thing.
She's really good, really good at that stuff. So
she knows it back and forth. Yeah,
she does. All right, I think we'll do a couple emails.
Music bed.
Oh, you want a music bed?
I want a music bed. It feels so
you feel naked,
and stark, and lonely, like we're out in space.
Here you go. Here's a little bit for you. Speaking of out in space, can I just play one of my favorite things right now? Just real quick here.
All
right.
Sure.
Hold on, folks. Indulge us a little. I know we're going a little long, but we're enjoying each other's company. it's the way it is. All right, we've got to find it here. Right. Is it this one? Hold on. Nope. Is this one, I think? Nope. Is this the one? Hold on. I never remember the names of these. Nope. Nope. This one, maybe. Okay, hang on. Nope. Nope. Hold on. Nope. One more. All right, I lied. One more. Flesh and Bone. Here we go. Is it this one? Damn it, I can't find it. Sorry. Is it this one? Hilo Chase? Maybe Hilo Chase. One more time. I can't find it. It's really good, though. Anyway.
You can definitely hear the Bear McCreary in that one right there.
So good, man.
Sure.
Whatever. Emails. Yeah, emails. Yeah. Brought to you by. Who's it brought to us by?
They're brought to us by the Off Tracks podcast. Listen to Cinema Mick and his alter ego as they discuss anything movie-orientated. If you find yourself a little off track, then we have completed our jobs. Off Tracks podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or visit Cinema Insanity on the Goondiwindi Twin Cinemas website. Goondiwindi Twin Cinemas website.
People with their hard orientated. To say names, yeah.
That's right. And orientated was written in there. I did not say the word orientated. Yeah.
Keep your emails
myself.
To yourselves, everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Bebop and Slash. Lynn Neal wrote in and says, I was listening to the show the other night and heard you guys talk about the place in Montgomery, Alabama.
You mean that place that's just like, it's just like a mini,
mini
mall.
Mall. We got a lot of emails from
Montgomery.
A bunch of Alabamans, so this is great. He says, I live in Auburn, Alabama. Jeez, Alabama.
Alabama.
Alabama all the time. And have been to the store a couple of times. Down there, the swap meets and flea markets are pretty big draw. This store is essentially an indoor version of one of those. They offer a little bit of everything at discount prices. They also allow outside vendors to rent space in the building. Generally, the merchandise is brands you haven't heard of and items that they buy off outlet malls when they liquidate. There are a few places like the Mini Mall, also known as the Flea Market Montgomery. He has been doing commercials like that for as long as I've been living here. Though I would give you guys a quick up, or I thought I would give you guys a quick update. Thanks for all the great shows. One of the few and proud Alabaman fans, Lynn Neal. Two first names. I like people like that.
Lynn Neal. That's cool.
Yeah.
I do want to go there and actually see this thing.
Yeah, me too. I'm interested in going
to Montgomery. Flea market.
I just want to see that guy for real. I want to see him in person. Where's the bathroom? Down the street. Turn right. In the thing. It's like a bathroom.
It's just like a mini bathroom.
All right. The perils of listening to us at 2X speed, written to us by Jeff from Thornton, Colorado. You know where that is?
Yeah, I do know where Thornton is. Yes. It's nice. just north of us.
Nice town?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very okay. Nice.
All right. Should do a meetup. Dear no longer homeless and near internetless. Right. For some reason, after listening to so many of your shows for the past year at 2x speed, this has ruined listening live to shows. Brian's sultry voice on Coverville is nice and calming, but I'm yelling at him to talk faster. And tell Jury to talk faster. I still can't understand what he's talking about. I know what he's saying. He's saying things like, I don't know about this one.
Very attractive package.
He says that sometimes. I heard that. Did you hear that?
I could hear that.
All right.
But that's at normal speed. The problem is that even at 2x speed, you can still understand what Jerry's talking about, so you need him to talk faster.
Yeah, like, very attractive package. Very attractive package. Say it fast. It's hard. Do it fast.
Getting mittens.
Nailed it.
Nice work. Finally, thank you, Jeff, from Thornton, Colorado. He says, even though live is... I live the fast life. I still love the show, he said.
Nice.
Got one more here from FGL Sports, Andre Vandal. He wrote in and said, Orange Whip, bah. Oh, please. He was talking about you wanting to get the Orange Whip at Disneyland.
Yeah. And I get a correction for that, but we'll take care of him first.
He says, oh, please. You can get those in Quebec in a place called Orange Julep, and it looks like this. And he gave us a link. I also make them at home myself. Have a good morning, Hodor and Hodor. So
let me see this picture.
Go look at that.
He's
talking
about like an Orange Julius is what he's probably referring to.
Well, when I read the word Julius, I thought the
orange
same thing.
Julep. Well, it's funny. It's a bunch of pictures of giant orange balls. It's the
look at that. That's a place you go and it's a giant orange ball. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah, that looks like an Orange Julius. It looks like.
Oh well, then. You're talking about something else.
So here's what I was talking about, and I got corrected by Leslie in the Tadpole and her beautiful son. They were both in the Guild Hall.
They sure were.
So cute.
Yep.
So I was corrected. It's not an orange whip. It's a Dole Whip. Hmm. And it's not made from oranges. It's made from pineapple.
Dole pineapple.
And it's less like a drink, like a... like an Orange Julius style drink.
Yeah.
It's more like a soft serve sorbet.
Look at that. That looks great.
Yes. The Dole Whip.
Did you get one?
I did not. The line extended all the way past the Enchanted Tiki Room.
Mm.
I found out another secret from Leslie is that there's actually a second entrance to that place.
Oh, yeah.
And you can go from the side and, you know, you may tick off some people because you're walking up and getting one while they've been waiting for 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But
that's all right. I did that a few times at BlizzCon where the fast passes, so it was fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, these look amazing. I'm looking at
them. They are really good. And somebody's actually got a recipe for the Dole Whip.
Leslie's baby.
Logan, right?
I think Kim. Yep. Kim just about wanted to walk out with that kid. So cute.
I know.
Adorable little bugger. And he was just so chill around everybody and having a good time.
He looked at me, and I don't know if it was because of the bald head, but big old grin on his face as soon as he looked at me, like, "Yay, you got the same hair."
Loved looking at you for some reason.
Oh, and for the record, people, yes, Scott Johnson did pat me on the head.
I did, and it was weird. It was very strange.
I don't know why you thought it was weird.
I don't know what I expected. I know what I expected. I expected snow globe smooth.
Oh.
And instead, you wouldn't have passed the cotton test.
No,
a fully unshorn sheep would have run past you and been naked on the other side. Just no cotton test for you. No, it didn't. It's not that it didn't freak me out. It was just a very intimate moment. It was like, oh, look at this. And you immediately feel like you're doing a thing you shouldn't do. Like, I would never do that to a stranger. You know what I mean?
I think I shaved my head on Wednesday morning. Because I had to leave so early Thursday morning that I wouldn't have had time. So that was 2 days worth of stubble because I saw you on Friday. I didn't see you on Thursday.
So you don't just dip your head in a vat of Nair. That's not how you do it?
Oh, God, no. That sounds like it could be horrible.
That would hurt. It'd be all skull and no bones or something.
Right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So there you go, folks. Emails are fun to do. You can send your own. themorningstream@gmail.com.
Emails are fun to do.
And we'll do them right here on the program. I do want to thank everybody who was involved in today's show. And I want to give a special thanks to GnomeWise, Todd Whitehead, AlphaGeekRadio.com, not only for running today's stream, and as we do every day on the show, for people who want to get the show via streaming audio, but he was there with his setup over the weekend at BlizzCon and made it possible for us to do live shows that people there could hear and could be recorded for everybody at home, and just made the whole thing so stinking easy for everybody involved. Cannot say enough about Todd and his help. He is the man.
He was so great. And
he really was. Oh, and a reminder, I forgot to mention this. Both Brian Ibbett and Tom Merritt joined Nicole and I an impromptu episode of The Final Score after the instance in the Guild Hall, and we did it. It's already up on the feed, so you can go listen to it now. We talked about video games of all types, including what we saw at BlizzCon, but that was fun. I really enjoyed that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. That was fun.
Thank you for doing that. What else?
It's completing my goal to appear as a guest on every single Frog Pants show possible.
Pretty much have now, right?
I think so. I haven't.
No comic dorks yet.
I don't think it would fit for me to be on autopilot, but.
Don't never say never, man. Season 4, we'll have you. You know what? That's actually a pretty good idea. We talked about this. So for season 4. Like in the first season, we had guests that were listeners that brought in their favorite pilot, and we watched it and then talked to them on the episode. We ought to do, you know, a chunk of season 4s where it's suggestions.
It's other producers.
From producers, yeah. Like Brian Ibbett's favorite thing as a kid, and we'll pick that pilot and watch it together and talk about it.
I'm in.
So then you can get you'll fill your meter, your Frog Pants meter will be fine. I want to thank everybody who helped us out today. Scott Fletcher, thank you so much. I have something to play from him real quick just for funs. You ready? This is him in his new studio.
Yeah.
Testing out his mic. He just moved as well, by the way.
Okay.
He's less loud about it than I am, but anyway. Here's him testing out his mic, and you'll enjoy this, I think.
Dog goes woof. Cat goes meow. Bird goes tweet. And mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo. Frog goes croak. But there's one sound that no one knows.
There you go.
Nice.
It's pretty good.
Well done.
Later on, he did that as well. All right.
he's so versatile.
I know. You can do anything. Just throw it at him. Hey.
Running with the devil is
Fletcher,
what he's doing.
Give me one of these. See? Look at that.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's like black and white.
Black and white.
All right. Let's get out of here. Thank you for being here, everybody. The site is frogpants.com/DMS on Facebook/TheMorningStream. Email us themorningstream@gmail.com. And as always, on Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do a Coverville last week? We should pimp that.
I did. There was one on Wednesday featuring cover stories for like a little mini Joni Mitchell cover story. And there's a bunch of good stuff on there. It was a cram-packed show.
Both Sides Now song appear on there?
Both Sides Now appeared on there, but not my Jason Faulkner version. I did want to do something a little bit different. I think I played Sporty Spice's version from one of her solo albums.
Oh, well, you like them Spice Girls, so.
I do. She's the one with the voice. Yeah. She's the one that actually can nail it.
She the redhead?
Nope. She's the brunette, the long-haired brunette that always wore jumpsuits.
Who's the?
Running track suits.
All right, great.
They call them jumpers in the
trolleys. They call them trolleys.
That's it, exactly. It's pram.
Pram. Push your pram around. That's it. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Let's get out of here with some music. I love songs, so why not? What do you got?
All right, I get you a cover right here. This one going out to Daniel, a.k.a. Shaladane in the Tadpool. He says, hello, Satter and Bodak. Monday, November 11th, I'll be turning 34. I was hoping you could play some Stabbing Westward for me. Love the show, Daniel, a.k.a. Shaladane. See, quick and easy. Boom. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah, done.
Great. Love it.
All right. So let's do that sort of that exact thing. This one actually came out on the soundtrack to Not Another Teen Movie. It is a cover of New Order. It is Bizarre Love Triangle, and it goes a little something like what you're going to hear in
all
a
right.
couple seconds.
Here it is. No problem. Thank you, everybody, for being here. What else?
Hey.
Oh, sorry. That guy wants to leave. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Brand new episode. Chinbeard. I don't know about Jury. He's in Singapore still, so I don't know what the deal is, but we'll try to get him on. I hope so. That'd be great. And the rest of the week just follows after that, all the way up
Singapore.
Through Windy.
Jeez.
Yeah, Singapore, right? I know. He's doing a go game there. Like some kind of freak. All right. Bizarre love triangle. What I like to call my relationship with Brian and Daryl. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye now.
No problem of mine, it's a problem I find.
is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
It's the sorceress, you boob!